much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Just waiting for my breakfast. Lewis!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
By the way, I want to shout out the stars of the Walk of Fame right quick, because they said something about they're not going to put my girl on the Walk of Fame because, you know, she's a reality star. It's like people are so, so dated and not modern. It's like there's no way a Kim Kardashian shouldn't have a star on the Walk of Fame. It's like it's ridiculous old, like, concepts.
Your judgment is impaired.
You know, for me to say I wasn't a genius, I would just be lying to you and to myself.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, no.
Why do you have a monkey?
It's an animal that looks like a dude. Why don't I have 10 of them?
Our feature presentation.
That's a much better question.
Right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:35, Monday, the 14th of October.
Don't you guys feel like we would have Columbus Day off somehow if it weren't for Beer Mug?
What? Yeah, I didn't think that specifically.
Fire Beer Mug.
It does seem now that you mention it.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think that was where we went wrong. Yeah. Well, welcome on into a Monday morning. How was everybody's weekend?
It was good.
Good.
Actually, yeah.
Had a good weekend. You?
All right. Fine. Watched a lot of baseball.
Yeah. Good times.
Very exciting time of year.
So you napped a lot?
No, I just watched a lot of baseball.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, remember when we had Adam Carolla on a couple of weeks ago, and he brought up an excellent point, I thought, in that we're always told two very different things in the event of a bear attack. Remember he said it'd be nice if they got their story straight, because half the people say, oh, no, you should throw yourself on the ground and play dead, and then the bear will not be interested in you, and the bear will leave you alone. And
right.
The other half of the people say you should get up real big and, you know, try to be imposing and threatening to the bear so that he turns and runs. You try to scare the bear away.
Right, and those two are not exactly close to each other. They're
right.
The exact opposites.
I would want to know a little more specifically what I'm supposed to do in the event of a bear attack, because that does not give me much to go on. Well, here's a guy who had a third option. This is a great story out of Canada. His name is Gilles, I guess, G-I-L-L-E-S. Would you say Gilles? That doesn't look like Giles to me.
Yeah, I guess.
Gilles Sear of New Brunswick, Canada. He had a black bear charging out of the woods toward him recently, and what he did was grabbed the bear's tongue.
How did you?
What?
I wouldn't even want to get close enough.
Yeah, it seems like putting your hand in the bear's mouth, maybe, is not the way to go.
Maybe was like the Miley Cyrus of bears, and she was just sticking it out.
Maybe so.
Grab a hold of it.
Well, let's find out more of what Mr. Sear had to say about his bear encounter in the woods.
It's just a black spot that came out of the bushes 5 feet ahead from me, and it hit me. So last thing I remembered, that hit me. So when I opened up my eyes, it was on top of me with the friggin' noise. It's crazy the way it growls, and it comes from right from the stomach, not from the mouth. It's just inside, and his mouth was wide open right in front of my face. So last thing I remember, I had his tongue in my hand, and I didn't want to let go because he was trying to fight me off. So he wasn't hitting me with his claws. So I says, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you too. So he was biting his tongue at the same time, probably.
How long can you hang on to a bear's tongue, though? Doesn't it seem like the bear would be able to pull away from you?
It would. It seemed that's a strange story. The fact that he could get a hold of it no matter what is weird.
It is.
This and then to hold on to it if the bear doesn't want you to, that's crazy.
And eventually, obviously, the bear was able to get loose from the man. So why didn't he just then attack again? Was he just scared off by the pressure on his tongue? I don't.
Maybe the bear was really scared of the man and was just trying to get away. And now he went back to the bear population and said, look, they're grabbing our tongues now. What do we do? How do we handle this?
We need a meeting.
We need a meeting.
All right, here's a little more.
Were you scared?
For a second, I thought I was dead, yeah.
Sure.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind when you open your eyes and you see that friggin' mouth full of teeth and the tongue in there. It's like you call it an extreme sport.
And your natural reaction was to grab his tongue.
Probably. It's just an instinct. I don't know. What else could I grab? There's no way you can't hold a bear.
Well, I guess you could grab his penis, but then it just gets weird.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that is odd.
He got permission from the warden in the area, by the way, to track down the bear and kill it. Now, how is he going to go out into the woods and find that bear, I wonder?
Boy, I don't know. This is a weird story.
Sporting.
Apparently, the bear population has gone way up. There has been a decrease in hunting in recent years, and they now have 17,000 bears in Ontario.
Wow.
So that's a lot. So anyway.
Yeah, but they're pussies. So
let's add that to the list of things to consider. If you, the Kevin and Bean listener, ever attacked by a bear, so you can get up real big, try to scare him away, you can throw yourself down on the ground and pretend to be dead, or you can grab his tongue or penis, depending on if you're Lisa or not.
Right.
So good luck with that.
All right. That's good advice. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Is there, and I'm just guessing here, some kind of medication that you maybe need a lot of and have taken none of, or maybe too much of today?
Alcohol. Greg Grunberg is going to be in the studio, and
oh,
I don't know.
We love Greg.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer for Big Ass Spider.
No,
it is. It's just absurd.
It's a pretty big spider.
It's one of those movies that's nonsense, but they know it's nonsense, so they just wallow in it.
Yep.
That is not a tiny spider.
It's not small. So we're going to talk to him today. We have William Shatner on the program talking to him about his new album.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
This is the real one, not the Ralph one. Stephen Young will be in the studio. Plays Glenn on The Walking Dead.
So good. I love him.
Talking about last night's debut, which Lisa has not seen, so we're going to spoil it for her.
I knew that would happen.
That will be fun.
So his job is to go to work every day and not fight zombies, but be in bed with Maggie. That's what he does.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk to Dax Holt from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. Check on what's going on with celebrities over the weekend. We have a great video to tell you about and put up a link for. It's a woman on an airplane, and holy crap, is she freaking out.
Oh, really?
Screaming at the top of her lungs. And I just can't imagine being next to her, even anywhere on that plane. Would have scared the hell out of me.
God.
We have a new singles party to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up, and we're going to give away tickets for it. And we have Andrew Siciliano coming in to talk football.
All right.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin and Bean's Scary Carry Prom on the Queen Mary. Just announced this morning, we're going to be giving away tickets later on today if you are single and want to join us. Friday night on the Queen Mary, brought to you by the new horror movie Carrie in theaters this Friday. Then stick around, we'll tell you how you can win. That should be a lot of fun, you guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph is here. Time now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week of Kevin and Bean shows.
Also, don't forget, on Friday, I will be heading up the K-Rock Blood Drive down there at the Queen Mary as well.
In the morning, that's right.
Yeah, so in the morning, we've got you're giving blood at the Queen Mary, and then later on in the evening, we'll just be taking blood. People will be in the shadows just leaping out and sticking a funnel in your vein. And then we'll be dumping it on the head of some lucky lady to celebrate the movie Carrie. So, a lot of blood. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. That's what we do on Mondays. As expected, the day debut of Captain Phillip was battling for the number one slot against the successful space movie Gravity, starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. But Gravity came out ahead once again this week.
Really?
$44.3 million.
Wow.
Made it number one. Not far behind it was Captain Phillips, the new Tom Hanks movie. $26 million made it number two. Then Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. $14.2 million made it number three. Then Machete Kills. Machete.
Machete don't text.
He don't text.
He don't tweet.
$3.8 million made it number four. Anybody catch it this weekend?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah, did you like it?
It's nonsense. But yeah. I loved it. They know it's nonsense.
Did not have a chance to see it.
They know it's nonsense. They just roll around in it. It's great.
A lot of big stars in that movie. A huge marketing campaign to make less than $4 million.
Yeah, well, maybe word of mouth will help Machete rise in the ranks. It looks like everybody just went to see Captain Phillips or Gravity this weekend. So, Runner also suffered. The box office, $3.7 million, made it number five. Prisoners, Insidious Chapter 2, Rush, Don John, and Baggage Claim rounding out your top 10 at the box office. While we're talking about movies, big news dropped on Saturday, surprising everyone. Charlie Hunnam of Sons of Anarchy fame has announced he is dropping out of the big screen version of the novel 50 Shades of Grey.
No kidding.
He had been cast as Christian Grey. However, he says he can't do it. Charlie said he's got an immersive TV schedule with Sons of Anarchy, and he just can't get the two schedules to sync up. Charlie also said he realized he was in the movie version of Fifty Shades of Grey.
That's what I think.
What? How did that happen?
Yeah.
He said, and then said, no, thank you.
Because it sure seems like you would work out your scheduling before you agreed to take the role.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure would, yeah.
Yeah. Some people are suggesting he doesn't want to be remembered for being in a modern-day version of Showgirls. He doesn't want to be in a movie that will be legend when it comes to the subject of bad films, and got some cold feet and said maybe somebody else should take the bullet. So,
yeah.
Either way, Charlie Hunnam, out looking for a new Christian Grail. Christian Grey. Here is your chance, Kevin.
Me?
Throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably get it if I wanted it.
You should put on these handcuffs. I'm going to tie you up with my tie. Get on the party bus. Kevin Ryder is Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey.
Wouldn't that just be the craziest thing if Kevin did it and became an international sex symbol?
Well, he already is.
And every day you'd try to get to work and there'd be like 1,000 teenage girls outside wanting to meet him.
You think I'd still be coming to work?
Yeah, really?
Are you kidding?
He would just become a gigolo. He'd just be a man selling his penis. And this is great news. A fifth Wizard of Oz TV project is in the works.
Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
When it rains, it pours.
Next fall, it's just going to be all Oz all the time. 5 different television programs are being developed around the Wizard of Oz and its characters. This one will be on Lifetime, called The Red Brick Road.
Okay. What's that all about?
The Red Brick Road follows Dorothy as she navigates through that particular time of the month.
No,
I'm
not the case.
No, I'm kidding. She takes the oldest and darkest road of Oz into the most dangerous parts of Oz to face the horrors that lie within. See, the yellow brick road, that was nothing. Where do you get to the red brick road?
Safeway.
Yeah.
She's going to Safeway?
I can't tell you how little interest I have in those projects.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I guess because the movie's getting re-released, big 75th anniversary, a lot of people are talking about it, they assume that those characters will bring them success. But
how much of those do we need? 5 TV shows?
I don't think any.
That seems like a lot.
If you do one, you're pushing
one's
it.
Fine. Yeah.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jay Farrell, a very talented impressionist as well, 26 years old today. TV personality Stacey Keibler. She used to belong to the Clune Dog.
No. Everyone belongs to the Clune Dog.
Now she belongs to the world. 34 years old today. Usher is 35. Actor, funny man Steve Coogan. Boy, is he talented. 48 years old. Actress Lori Petty is 50. Roger Moore, 007 himself for a period of time there. 86 years old.
Ooh.
And singer Thomas Dolby.
She blinded me with science.
He's not sounding so well.
Buzz, wait, hold on. What did she blind you with, Buzz?
Silence!
No, I'm sure those aren't the lyrics. Thomas Dolby's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Pat O'Brien, was that you doing the Cabbage Patch during that Avicii song? What was going on with you?
Yeah, I invented the Cabbage Patch dance.
You
I
did? Doubt
that. Back when I was fighting my demons,
right.
I used to go out on the dance floor.
Uh-huh.
With a head full of blow.
Right.
And I'd be out there, teaching the kids how to dance.
Sure.
Ask Hartman. He knows. Hartman. Hartman, tell him how I dance with Cabbage Patch.
There's no one here named Hartman.
No, Hartman, he'll tell you.
Pat O'Brien is a Fox Sports Radio personality. He joins us Monday mornings to recap the NFL weekend for us. What'd you like this week, Pat?
NFL weekend. Well, the big story, of course, is now there are two when it comes to unbeaten teams in the NFL. Denver Broncos. They remain unbeaten. Six games.
Yes, but they never lose.
That young Mr. Manning has taken that team to unprecedented heights. They said yesterday, by the way, that Peyton struggled against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Only hung 35 points on him, by the way. That's all he did.
That's an off day for Peyton these days.
And the Kansas City Chiefs remain unbeaten as well as they took on the Oakland Raiders yesterday. Score of 24-7. That Kansas City Chiefs team is just rolling with new coach Andy Reid. Apparently, Andy motivates them by telling them he'll eat them if they don't win. it's funny. I was talking to Taylor Lautner the other day. We were working out together.
What does that have to do with
Well, just talking about eating, Well, we eat a lot of high protein.
Right.
Of course, is what Taylor and I both share.
You're not hanging out with Taylor
along with Ashley Tisdale. We shared her as well, by the way.
Okay, they don't even know who you are. Neither of them has ever heard of you, Pat O'Brien.
Of course, the big story yesterday had to be that amazing come-from-behind win. New England Patriots over the New Orleans Saints, taking away the Saints' unbeaten streak. Both teams at 5-1 now. But that Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Give him 10 seconds, he'll win you a football game.
That was unbelievable.
Pretty amazing how he came back at the end. He put the ball exactly where it had to be for that touchdown to take the team over the New Orleans Saints. And I was talking to Giselle Bundchen, of course, his wife, yesterday. We're good friends.
Where? Where were you talking to her?
I was talking on the phone.
Oh, on the phone.
I called her up and said, Jizzy.
I'm sorry?
I called Jizzy.
You called Giselle Bundchen Jizzy?
Gave her her name.
Oh, I didn't realize back that you named her.
Back when I was still covering the model beat. For Entertainment Weekly Tonight Access Now.
OMG.
I gave Giselle Bundchen her name. That's not her real name, you know. I looked at her. I said, I know you're from Brazil, but you look German to me. Let's call you Giselle Bundchen. And she liked that. Her original name was Gladys Herpes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Seems like an unlikely story, Pat.
She doesn't look like a Gladys Herpes, does she?
Not at all.
Not a good name for a model, by the way.
No.
And she also can't be happy about being called Jizzy. That can't be. She can't love that.
You know, I was talking to Reba McEntire yesterday, and I said, Reebs.
Why were you talking to Reba McEntire yesterday?
Well, we have a crochet class together.
Yeah. Pat, are any of the celebrity stories you tell us true?
Absolutely. In fact, Tom Selleck asked me that the other day. He said, Pat, are any of the celebrity stories you said tell true? And I said, just ask Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He'll tell you. And I pulled Joseph Gordon-Levitt out of my trunk.
He was in your trunk?
He was in my trunk, yeah. He likes to ride back there.
He likes to ride. That's an odd thing.
He feels safer.
Pat,
told Robert Downey Jr. when we were having lunch yesterday.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts at all for Kevin and his woeful Arizona Cardinals?
Well, the Cardinals are 3-3. A lot of teams at 500 so far this early point in the season. They struggled against the San Francisco 49ers last night. But, you know, look, the NFC, it's wide open right now, especially that East. How about that? We got the Redskins at 1-4, Dallas Cowboys at 3-3. They share the lead with the Philadelphia Eagles, who won yesterday over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 0-5, by the way. Can you still count Tampa Bay as a team?
I'm not positive.
I'm not sure if you can either. Between Jacksonville Jaguars at 0-6 and Tampa Bay at 0-5. A lot of teams struggling. So the NFC, I still think, is wide open, except for a few teams. We'll have to wait and see who comes out of that that conference to represent. I was telling that to Russell Crowe the other day. He was taking me out on his boat.
How do you have time for all of this?
The Angry Bunghole, it's called. The name of his boat. We were out there. You know, he was having a beer. I don't anymore, of course. I've conquered my demons.
Right.
I was having just a giant bottle of vodka.
Well, wait, you're not allowed to have vodka as an alcoholic, Pat.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one, I think.
No, you can't drink if you're an alcoholic.
Tonight, of course, the Indianapolis Colts take on the San Diego Chargers. Colts at 4-1, San Diego at 2-3. This is a battle that only people who like the Colts or Chargers will watch. I won't be watching.
You don't care?
No. I got a big dinner date with Zach Braff.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to go out there and go to that Olive Garden. It's all you can eat, the breadsticks there. So we're going to check that out.
Well, give Zach our best.
Of course, Indianapolis Colts face off on the Denver Broncos next week. That's what every game everybody's looking forward to. And Peyton Manning goes back to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And kicks him right in the Giomis, as they say in Italy. At least that's what Paul McCartney told me when he was in Italy.
Okay.
That's what
they're called.
All right. All right, Pat. Well, listen, you and your celebrity friends have a great week. Thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Hey, by the way, Simon Baker says hi. We were hanging out the other day. He had a good time being interviewed by you
Did
guys.
He? Yeah. Right. Yeah, go ahead. You tell him thanks.
It's been a long time since our friend Greg Grunberg has joined us in studio. He will be here at 7 o'clock this morning, of course, from, all the great TV shows and movies in the world. And he's the star of Big Ass Spider coming soon. William Shatner on the program today and Stephen Yeun from The Walking Dead. That's all coming up, too. First, though, how about the TMZ newsroom? How about our friend Dax Holt, who joins us? Hey, Dax, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's going on in the newsroom today?
Well, let's see. What do you want? You want to start off with little Justin Bieber or Charlie Hunnam?
Let's start off with little Justin Bieber, as you call him.
Isn't he getting far less delightful the older he gets? He's just turning into a big drip now. He's not that adorable little teenager who entertains anymore.
And the kid, like, never has a shirt on anymore. It's like, find some clothes already.
You know what's funny, too, is, like, One Direction is a same type of band, same type of music. There's five of them. They don't. They're not doing douchey things. He's outdoing an entire band of five people.
That's a good point.
How do you do that?
Oh, God, I don't know. But here's a good little story for you guys. So he was over in South Korea at a nightclub, and there's this DJ who was up there in the booth named DJ Michael Woods. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. He's pretty famous.
Okay.
And apparently he was playing some pop music, and Justin muscles his way into the booth and says, hey, I want you to put on some rap. I want you to put on some good stuff in here. And the DJ looked at him like, I'm the DJ. What are you talking about? He's all, get the F out of here and put some clothes on, because he was shirtless in the club.
I love it.
Of course he was.
I love that he assumes that he's going to be able to tell the DJ what to do, and the DJ is just going to do it.
Yeah, the DJ's like, no, this is my job. I'm getting paid to be here right now. Get out of here.
You go anywhere else and put on clothes.
Yeah, and then he apparently what the DJ is claiming is that Justin took a cheap shot at the DJ's manager and basically like pushed him or something, and then ran off and hid behind a security guard.
Oh yeah,
well he does that.
That he does.
Yeah. By the way, Dax, could you or I go into a nightclub anywhere in the world and just sit there with our shirt off?
No,
would they allow that? They wouldn't, right? There'd be a health code violation.
It doesn't matter what your body looks like; they don't want you shirtless inside the club. So I don't know why there's endless clubs that he's walking around shirtless, like. How douchey can you be? Put your shirt on.
The other thing is, it's not like he looks good that way.
No.
He doesn't have tan. He doesn't have muscles. Like, he's just he's just a white little pasty girl body. It's odd.
Look, he walked through security at LAX with his shirt off that one time, remember? So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. All right, let's move on to the huge news from 50 Shades of Grey. Now, this is one of the most anticipated movies among a certain set of ladies who enjoy mommy porn, and Charlie Hunnam was the man, and now he's not. What really happened, Dax?
Yeah, he dropped out over the weekend. You know, this news broke that he said that he wasn't adequately prepared for the movie role, and that he had his TV schedule with Sons of Anarchy, you know, is just so busy. It's interesting because I swear a couple days ago he had come out saying that he's really taking this role serious, and then just decided, okay, I'm going to drop out right before they start filming. I mean, they were supposed to start filming later this month.
Wow. But I'm really taking this seriously means I need to look into what this is. And then when he did, he's like, I'm going to stick with Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
This is going to get awkward on screen with gag balls and stuff. So, and not only that, later that day, right after the news had broke, he's in Santa Barbara at his buddy's wedding, standing up, being the best man, doing the speech, like nothing is going on, just having a great time.
Yeah.
And I did see that, is it E.L. James? Is that the woman who wrote the book, 50 Shades of Grey? I did see that she tweeted her best wishes to Charlie, wished him good luck in the future. I mean, it sounded like at least, you know, she wasn't holding a grudge, at least publicly anyway. But this has to be a little bit of a setback, as you said, for a movie that's getting ready to film. Have you done any kind of polls on TMZ.com, Dax, as to who your readers would like to see take that role?
No, I think most people wanted Ian Somerhalder. I think that was the main guy people wanted, or Matt Bomer, but I don't know. I don't know if people don't want this role because it could be a career ruiner. It really could. You know, it's like one of the things that you do this role and people kind of typecast you in that and kind of ruins your acting career after.
Right. Yeah. And it is exactly the kind of role that we could all be surprised and it could be great. But I think it's more likely that it's going to, as Ralph said last hour, it's going to end up being Showgirls.
Exactly. It's one of those movies that just kind of kills it for you, and then you can't get serious acting gigs afterwards. So for me, and maybe his people sat him down and were like, you know what? We thought about it. Let's not do this.
Right, exactly. All right, well, good stuff. Well, I know you're always working on a ton of good stories there in the TMZ newsroom. Go to TMZ.com and check Channel 11 all day, every day. It's all TMZ all the time from the minute you wake up until the nightly news. All right, Dax, have a great week,
man. I'm sorry about that, but it's actually good for us.
No worries. It's a lot of damn TMZ on that channel, I'll tell you that. Thanks, Dax.
Bye, guys.
Nope, got no time. Got no time. We got the woman. We don't have time.
You know what we have time for? Halloween spooks.
Not this.
Halloween. Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
No way.
Ooh, ah,
come on, Kevin, sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks.
No!
Behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me.
No.
And there's Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
Oh, God, no.
This for being outstanding. Tad, remind you, here we are into deep into October now. It is Halloween Spooks time. We got a couple of things going on this Friday.
No!
The K-Rock Bloody Mary Blood Drive is going to be happening. Our own Ralph Garman is going to be out on the Queen Mary all morning long. Tons of prizes for everybody who donates. You know, from time to time, we'd like to get together and do a blood drive. So Ralph will be out there hosting that. And then Friday night, same location at the Queen Mary, it's the Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary. We're going to have tickets you can win to the new Kevin and Bean Singles Party later on today. Details at KRock.com. Singles Party brought to you by the new horror movie, Carrie, in theaters this Friday.
What is that? Stop it!
No! No! No!
Nope. Nope.
Seriously.
Seriously. Nope.
But seriously.
That is no way to live.
I think we're up to the big finish, though.
No. 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 No.
Outside my window.
No.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
That's not annoying.
You know nobody likes you. You know nobody likes you, right?
I felt good.
Let's talk about this woman on a flight.
Let's.
We have all been on flights where people get scared. Mm-hmm. Some people will shout every once in a while. But this was a flight from Miami to Tampa, which is probably, what, an hour flight, maybe?
Yeah.
Miami to Tampa?
I would guess less.
Less, okay. But the entire flight, this woman was screaming. So she was losing it. First of all, she was walking up and down the aisle, and nobody knows if what she was saying is true or not. But she was asking people on the plane to pray for her mother because she just passed away. Now, okay.
So she was distraught. She's in a bad emotional place.
Right, but again, like, she crazy, so who knows if that's accurate or
right.
not.
Hard to believe something like this would happen in Florida.
It really is. So you're going to hear the woman screaming in this tape, and I just tweeted a link to it. There's a guy that was sitting across the aisle, and he took his iPhone out, and he got it on video.
God bless him.
And man, oh man, I mean, this is going to be hard to listen to for 2 minutes, let alone the whole flight.
Is that what she did?
40 minutes or however long the flight is the whole time.
Oh my God.
Listen to this. Okay.
What is she saying?
She's saying, you're my savior.
Why didn't they make her get off the plane? Why didn't the flight attendant turn that car around and take it back to the driveway?
They should have just opened the door and pushed. Listen, you're my savior. So later she starts shouting, God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. That's how you know that. But this is literally the first thing on the tape. Now, seriously, if that happens on a plane you're on,
what? But
don't
what
you
they
freak?
Do?
That's miserable.
They
That's
did
miserable
nothing.
For they everybody on the plane.
Do anything?
They did nothing. The guy who's taking the video starts to kind of give us the play-by-play.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
She's been freaking out for the last 20 minutes.
She's been doing that for 20 minutes.
That's when you wish you'd bought those noise-canceling earphones.
No, I wish I could sit by that woman. I love
no,
her so much.
No, you would hate her. You'd put a pillow over her face and try to smother
maybe.
Her. You really would.
I'd love her for 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
But maybe not long.
She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother. And then she's been like this for the last, 15, 20 minutes.
Wow. That woman's having a breakdown.
You think?
Does she have Tourette's by any chance?
I don't know. By the way, remind me later today when we have time to tell you about watching Captain Phillips next to a woman who did have Tourette's. And,
awesome.
And someone's going to have to catch me up on the movie. I assume he got off the boat. I don't know, because I was fascinated with her. But this is crazy. She's just repeating it over and over, and it sounds like she's just freaking out like she's going to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
Now, how many times have you complained about a flight you're on? Oh, this woman, this guy, they wouldn't stop talking. Never like this.
God, you're my savior!
I don't know if this guy next to her knows her or not. He's been trying to calm her down the whole time.
Can you imagine sitting next to her?
No, you would have to get up.
Please note how loud this tape is of this woman. And this isn't the guy sitting next to her who's recording it.
This is the guy across the aisle.
Across the aisle, yeah. So imagine how loud it must have been for them.
God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
I think she said so effing scared. I think.
Oh, my God.
This is an American Airlines flight. The flight attendant should have done something.
What?
Did they even try to do something?
Yeah, they tried to calm her down. They tried to help her out, whatever. But, I mean, at some point...
make her go sit in the back with them.
Yes, that's what you do, is you take her to the back of the plane or to the front of the plane, and you put her away from the passengers as much as you can,
yeah, that's
at a minimum.
Not fair.
I'd say you put her at the back of the plane. You don't put her anywhere near the pilot.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So the tape is almost over, but...
Ask me to make sure she doesn't, like, try to go to the back door and open it. If she tries to go back, I'm going to block her.
So this guy is now on alert that if she tries to go back to the back of the plane, he needs to block her. Because she might try and open the door.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
So she toned it down a little now. So like 40 minutes
of that. They need to carry trank darts.
They really do.
Something.
Trank dart is awesome.
Right?
Like a blow dart. And then she just goes to sleep.
Do you think that there was someone to meet her when the plane landed? Someone official?
I hope so.
Her name is now on the no-fly zone?
I certainly hope so.
She needs to drive back to wherever she came from.
Remix!
God, you're my savior! 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 God, you're my savior!
What a great flight that was.
Oh, man.
Good.
Hello? That's
right.
Over.
All right.
Hello?
What's happening down there?
Well,
Beer Mug's just spinning out of control.
Beer Mug is spinning out of control. So he usually says 30 seconds or 20 seconds to let us know.
Well, he can't be bothered this morning.
So at that moment, after that song ended, he said, crap, it's over.
No time. Now.
And then he walked up and he put his finger on the button that turns your microphone on, Beam, but I don't think he hit it. So then,
I heard nothing. I did not have any idea what was going on.
And Ralph started talking, so then I put Ralph on.
Yeah.
So that was that happened. So that was all good.
Fire Beer Mug!
Yeah.
Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug!
Wow. Good start. Nice. New week.
Yeah, well, he's upset because his horse hide roundup isn't on the air or whatever he does, the whole baseball thing.
Horse hide roundup?
Yeah, he's very upset.
All right, well, we'll try to press on. There are people who are just tuning in right now who didn't hear any of that, so they still have the right to expect a good show.
New.
So let's see what we can do. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin DeBean show. What's going on?
It is not a right to expect a good show from
That's
us.
True.
If you've learned
it's
anything,
privilege.
It's to lower your expectations.
That's right. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Gravity, once again, number one, $44.3 million. Made it number one.
It's been a long time since I've seen a movie that is so rapturously reviewed by all. Like, there isn't a single person who hasn't walked out saying, not only did I like it, I loved it.
That was amazing.
Captain Phillips, in its debut weekend, did $26 million. That was good enough to put it in second place this weekend. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, two. $14.2 million, made it number three. Machete Kills. Machete. Had a debut this weekend of $3.8 million. That was number four at the box office. Then Runner, the Ben Affleck film. Rounding out the top five, Prisoners, Insidious Chapter 2, Rush, Don John, and Baggage Claim, number 10 at the box office this weekend.
That luggage still hasn't arrived?
Oh, that
They're
baggage
still
claim.
Waiting for it?
Make sure you check your tags, because suitcases can look alike.
That's true.
It's the advice I give you if you're going to see Baggage Claim. Next weekend, though, my prediction for number one?
What?
Big Ass Spider.
Oh,
that's
no
what
kidding.
I'm suggesting.
I didn't know much about this until we were booked, Greg, and then I looked at it. I was like, oh, that looks awesome.
We have Greg Grunberg coming up next to talk about that. I got a chance to see it over the weekend, and I'm telling you, you will love this
movie.
Oh,
it looks perfect.
It is so much fun. And I just couldn't be prouder because my buddy Bardo Boyer co-stars along Greg in the film. Lombardo played Chico on the Joe Schmo Show, the one we just did.
Yeah,
he was Chico.
Chico.
And he was very funny, and he's a great improviser and a really funny talent, and he is Greg's cohort in battling the big-ass spider. They team up together. As he calls himself, he's the Mexican Robin to Greg, to Greg's Batman. And, wildly entertaining.
That spider is not small.
It is not a small spider.
That's correct.
In fact, if I had to find a phrase to describe it, I think big-ass spider would be the phrase I would use. Yeah, the Biebs is at it again. This time, it was this past Friday night in Seoul, South Korea. He was at a club where DJ Michael Woods was performing, and so Justin was listening to Michael spin some records, did not apparently appreciate his choice in music, and so stormed, shirtless and uninvited, into the DJ booth along with his entourage, demanding to hear more hip-hop music, and less of the electronic dance music, I guess, is what
this biography should be called, Shirtless and Uninvited.
It should be. Woods explained the events via Twitter, saying basically what he said to Justin was, F off and put some clothes on. God bless him. At that point, Bieber took a poke at Michael Woods' tour manager, took a swing at him, and then, according to Michael, immediately retreated behind a wall of his security guards.
We've seen him do that.
Yes, mm-hmm. We have. Michael posted on his Facebook page, next time you take a swing at somebody, why don't you stick around instead of running behind your security like a little little baby cat. So, the Biebs continues to impress.
He is the best. That's our point, right?
Looks like Amanda Bynes has some competition.
Uh-oh.
Selena Gomez this weekend admitted she's got a crush on Drake during a radio interview. What is it with this Drake? What does this Drake have?
Don't know.
He's a decent-looking guy, I guess.
I guess, but there's a lot of decent-looking guys out there.
He just seems so mopey, you know, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's not mopey. That's another guy. That's
no, mopey. I said he's just mopey. Does it overwhelm you with his personality?
Well, Selena stopped short of inviting him to murder her vagina, but apparently...
Did she turn around and say he was ugly?
She did not. No, okay. She stayed on track with the attractive thing.
All right.
How did that Corey Monteith episode of Glee do last Thursday? Well, it turns out 7.4 million people tuned in to watch Glee's farewell to Finn and Corey Monteith.
That's higher than usual, I take it?
It was up 68%.
Wow.
In terms of its ratings. So the secret to Glee is kill more cast members.
Absolutely.
I think that's what their new plan is.
I don't think that's a good long-term
one
strategy.
One by one, they're going to start taking out the cast.
Look out, little precious.
And saying goodbye to them. It was the series' highest-rated episode in the desirable 18 to 49-year-old category as well. So, that's the good news. Bad news is, it looks like they're not going to be making a Stretch Armstrong movie. I'm heartbroken.
Going to be a thing?
Oh, yeah. They were going to turn Stretch Armstrong. For those who don't remember, it was a very popular toy in the 70s and 80s. Stretch Armstrong was an action figure that you could grab onto his legs and his arms. And you could stretch them. You would pull them and they would stretch.
Doesn't sound like much of a...
And his name was Stretch Armstrong.
Right.
And then you would let go of his arms and legs and they would just come back into shape.
Right.
But he could stretch and then he would come back together again. And that was going to be a feature film starring Taylor Lautner. I kid you not. But it looks like production has stopped. They were in pre-production at one point. But... looks like they're moving on to other projects. Everyone involved is moving on.
Isn't it funny? We always ask this question. Isn't there somebody along the way that says, hey, by the way, this isn't really a whole movie?
Yeah, guys, I know Transformers is very popular, but this is just a doll that you pull and stretch.
Ralph, did you have one?
I did, sir.
What do you think, Bean?
Of course I had the Stretch Armstrong.
I bet Grumberg did, too.
I bet Grumberg had a Stretch Armstrong. His next film is going to be Big Ass Stretch Armstrong, where he has to kill a giant... mutant Stretch Armstrong doll. It's taking over Los Angeles. And, all right, here's the thing. I'm very happy for the people involved with Teen Wolf, popular series on MTV.
Right.
Made an announcement on Friday at the New York Comic Con, which was this past weekend, that they are bringing it back for a fourth season of Teen Wolf. Congratulations to everyone involved. However, they also announced that starting January 6th, following Teen Wolf, they will have a...
Talking Teen Wolf
talk show. After every episode called Wolf Watch, where everyone will get together and talk about the previous episode of... Listen to me. Not every show needs a half-hour autopsy where live television, you get together and you talk about what you just saw. Not every TV series deserves that.
Talking Dead rules.
Chris
Hardwick had a half an hour open in his schedule. They have to give him the Wolf Show.
I get it. I got the Talking Bad after Breaking Bad. I understand it. These shows are cultural phenomenons.
Right.
I understand it. They're dense plots that need some sifting through, perhaps, with celebrity guests. We don't need Wolf Watch to talk about the guy who had his shirt off. Who
turned
into a wolf.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yes,
died.
We do.
I'm so excited.
I'm
going to
kill him.
Wolf.
He likes Wolf Watch.
He does like Wolf.
Oh, Teen Wolf. I love Teen Wolf. I will watch Wolf Watch.
Wolf.
That's how he says wolf, people. We're not kidding.
He is. Yeah, he does.
You knew he had trouble with vowels. Now he's having trouble with consonants, too.
Wolf. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Jay Farrow is 26 years old today. Stacey Keibler, the Keebs, as we call her, 34 years old.
Remember when we had her in here, guys?
Stacey Keibler, yes.
Yeah.
As beautiful as she is in pictures and on your television, she is even more so stunning in person.
Yeah, she did not seem real.
She's
not
about,
always the case.
She's about 9 feet tall and about 8 feet of that her leg. She's a very small
one-foot
torso.
She has two legs.
No, leg. All right. You know I'm talking. Yeah, she's lovely and could not be more charming. 34 years old today. Usher's 35. Steve Coogan, very talented actor, is 48. Lori Petty of the famous racing family. She is 50 years old today.
I don't believe she's a part of that family
is.
At all.
Open up a blog.
Unrelated.
Roger Moore, at one time, he was James Bond. He was also the Saint, one of the more successful Bonds, 86 years old today. And singer Thomas Dolby.
She blinded me with science.
Oh. Ever since he and Buzz Aldrin split up, the band just isn't the same anymore. Remember when Buzz would sing with Thomas Dolby?
Silence!
Silence! Blinded me with silence!
Thomas would go, it's science.
Sorry, it's science. You got one line, Buzz, and you blew it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Greg Grunberg, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Back.
Back for more.
Back and better than ever.
Yes, thank you for
it's
having me.
It's been so long. Why did it take a big-ass spider to get you back in here, Greg?
I don't know. I mean, I've been on the client list, and you know, with Jennifer Love Hewitt. You guys are watching that at all? Clearly not.
Occasionally.
Sure we do. Everything you're involved in.
We love it.
Yeah. Sure. Baby Daddy on ABC Family. No, nothing.
Sure. I've not even heard of that.
Yeah, we're watching Baby Daddy.
I have to be honest, I've not even heard of that.
A big ass spider. That's what it takes.
Nor had I heard of big ass spider till about a week ago, and now I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, cool.
I mean, this looks like the best. Ralph, you've seen it.
Yes. It is one of the most fun movies you'll see all year. I mean, it's this movie that knows exactly what it is. And yet,
which is nonsense. It's nonsense.
Oh, it's nonsense.
It's a monster movie. It's a monster movie.
But it's a real movie.
But I was going to say, it's really well done and well executed, and it's well written and well acted, and it elevates it. I mean, they shove a lot of crap our way now with the Sharknadoes and the Sharktopuses, you know,
right.
Even though I was in that.
And you like it, but you like it
and
for
that's
the crap.
Fun. Yeah. But if you take it to the next level and you make a really good movie with all that fun elements in it, it really changes the game.
Yeah, I met with Mike Mendez, who's a really talented filmmaker, and these guys, Epic Pictures, they put out a lot of movies every year. And I read this, and I was like, okay, it's called Mega Spider. I said, now you guys don't know yet, but it's going to be a comedy. You know, they had no idea.
They didn't know that?
No, I mean, I just said, I'm not going to take this seriously. For me to be able to do this, I want to steal it. I want to have fun with it. It's a low-budget thing. Yet they showed us these effects from a Pakistani effects company.
Really?
They were trying to get their foothold into Hollywood. So they did some preliminary effects, and it blew me away. Mike showed it to me at lunch on his phone. And I said, okay, first of all, I'm in. And secondly, because I know Mike can really deliver a movie. He's a great filmmaker. And even at that budget, right? And then I said, and I have the sidekick. I have my co-star.
Oh, really?
Lombardo Boyard, who had worked with before in Group Sex, which is a movie I wrote. It's on Netflix.
One of our favorites.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And so you know Lombardo.
No, I don't. I know him from Ralph's show.
from Ralph Show.
Joe
right.
Schmo Show. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he played Chico in the Joe Schmo Show, this most recent season that we did, and he practically stole the show. He's just hilarious.
He's so funny. And anyway, so we got to improv many of the scenes. We knew you had to go from A to B, but how you got there. And the two of us together, it's just, it's a shorthand, and we had a blast.
For people listening, describe how big the spider is, because it's not small.
Well, it changes size throughout the film, really. Yeah. You know,
phase one or
phase five.
Which they do phase that scientific.
Let's talk about its biggest.
Its biggest. It's on the U.S. Bank Building downtown, a la King Kong, and it's about, I would say, 10 stories tall.
Easily, yeah.
Easily.
That's a big ass spider.
It's a big ass spider.
You see it first at Top City Hall at one point, and it just dwarfs it. It's a massive spider.
And I play a Western exterminator who takes his job very seriously and is chasing the spider along with a security guard from the hospital.
From the hospital, yeah.
And the two of us end up downtown, and I just will not let it go. Like, I have, you know, there's a credo with Western. You know,
sure.
We live to kill.
Sure.
So I'm not going to stop until I take this thing down.
And your character, Alex, also is trying to get laid too. He's trying to impress a girl. That's
always.
Really why he's doing it.
Exactly.
That's sort of the motivation. I was watching the film. I said, "This guy's doing this just to get laid.
Well,
he just really wants
Claire
to impress."
Kramer. Claire Kramer, who beautiful. Is beautiful and awesome, and Ray Wise is in the movie, and Lynn Shea is in the movie. So
yeah, great,
a good
great cast, very fun.
But I have to ask, and I hate to ground this in too much of reality, but once the spider gets to be 10 stories tall, don't they take it away from the Western exterminator guy and bring in maybe some bigger firepower?
A jet.
Well, they do.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, there are certain things that the Western does take care of, and certain they don't. 60-story spiders and beehives, both outside their realm.
Okay. But Alex is sort of a renegade. He plays outside the rules.
Sure.
And, you know, the army is going after the spider, but Alex takes upon himself, along with his Mexican Robin, to go out there and conquer the spider on his own. So they're renegade spiders.
The trailer, if people want to see this movie, it's coming out on the 18th, this Friday.
That's Friday, yeah. Friday.
And it's going to be midnight screenings, and in LA there are a bunch of places that it's playing, in big cities it is, but across the country it's really exciting because it's also on VOD at the same time, so you can it's fun.
Fiend doesn't like to leave his house, so he likes it.
I only watch VOD movies.
Perfect.
And every week now there's new VOD movies coming out, which is an awesome way to see it. There ever a real spider or a mock-up of a spider that you interacted with, or was it all you working against a computer?
It's a great question. Okay, so practical effects. I'm a huge fan of practical effects. Mike Mendez is as well. And we tried. We had this company. We actually, there's a reality show on the Sci-Fi Channel. I forgot what the show's called, but they did an episode on us. That they created this practical spider. We're supposed to use it. The first day, two shots in, it was so clear that this was like the Muppets. It was crazy.
No. Yeah, it was limp spider arm. Yes.
It was like, feed that thing a cookie, man. Get it out of here. It was not working at all. So, all of the shots. There were over 700 effect shots in the movie. And they still couldn't get rid of my bald spot. But other than that,
I don't think that was maybe their focus.
Yeah,
What if it killed him? A little digital effects on your bald spot.
That's what I was saying. Big ass bald spot.
Yeah. Come on. Even the moments where you're towards the end of the film, where the spider's legs are slamming down into the ground, you're sort of dodging them. That was all digital.
That was all digital. All that stuff. And I was saying, we were talking about shooting in L.A. You know, this thing shot in L.A., and we shot it over 14 days. And if you shoot south of Alameda, you can shoot a gun at the same time you're shooting a camera, and they don't care.
No
the
one
cops
cares.
Don't
no
care.
One notices.
Whatever.
This movie is sort of, if you're a L.A. resident, it is sort of a love letter to L.A. because so few things shoot anymore locally here. So when you see a movie based about L.A. and major, like Legion Park plays a big role, and City Hall, you see major landmarks of Los Angeles, and it's kind of fun to see L.A. again in a movie.
Where a big spider's destroying. You know, Mike talks about how he loves to scare people, loves to make them laugh, and they also kill people on camera.
Oh, yeah.
And he talks about, he's like, well, we killed like 50 people in this movie. And there's a scene in the park where all these playmates are playing volleyball. There's like all that stuff that you have to have in a genre movie.
So gratuitous TNA is
exactly.
necessary.
That was my favorite part. Like, they're in Elysian Park, and there's these beautiful blonde white girls, giant cans, playing volleyball. It's like, listen, I've been to Elysian Park. Okay? Yeah. Now I know we're in science fiction territory.
Right, exactly. It's the movie version of like a nude beach. Like, if you go to a nude beach, you're not going to see beautiful
impressive.
People.
Right. Right. No. Right.
What I love is the ones that aren't in bikinis are in tube tops, which is how all girls like to play volleyball, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
The tube top is coming back.
The film is called Big Ass Spider. It's everywhere in theaters this Friday and available on video on demand. Our guest is Greg Grunberg. We'll take a quick break. Come back more with Greg right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
tongue again.
I don't either. That's true.
By the way, on the radio, it sounds like something else.
It does.
It does.
That is so disgusting.
Come on.
Big Ass Spider comes out on Friday in theaters and on demand. Greg Grunberg, of course, you remember and love from Felicity and from Alias and from Heroes, and he's that terrible pilot who crashed that plane with all those nice people on it.
My fault. I was drunk.
And you just got back from New York Comic Con. Now, you were there promoting the Big Ass Spider? That's why you were there?
Yeah, we had a panel, and we were giving away posters and hats and all kinds of stuff to get the get everybody excited about the movie. And then,
did you bring some for us today?
I actually was going to bring a poster. So you can auction it off or do whatever, and I've got them. So if you want one,
do we have to come to your house and get them?
No,
I'll send them over. Website or something.
Exactly. Stand in line. $30 for a picture.
How is New York doing in terms of getting their Comic-Con up and running? I know it's been going for a couple of years now, but how's it compared to San Diego?
I would say it's just as popular. It was
really?
It was insane. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, San Diego is just a monster. This thing, it's a big ass
monster.
Yeah, I was blown away. And you know, we were talking about earlier that they have two entrances and all these people walking around with weapons and, you know, and of course, everybody, the first question, everybody, or the number one question for me is about Star Wars, and I can't say anything. And
right.
So I was just yelling, you know, JJ's my savior! JJ's my savior! For 40 minutes on the plane.
Yeah.
No, it was crazy. It was really nuts. But the good thing about that is that audience embraces something like this. And especially, there's so much going on. Like, you walk around, it's like Spartacus and this and that and all that stuff that takes all those genre movies. They take themselves so seriously and they're so well done. Something that gives you a laugh and gives you a break, like Big Ass Spider. I mean, it's funny. So they love it. And we had a hall, we had a panel, and it was sold out. It was
what
great.
Kind of questions do they ask you?
Very detailed questions about this. Yeah, the special effects. What was it like working with, you know, nothing? Which, you know, I did on The Hollow Man. It was the same sort of thing where it was like, you know, you're just trusting the director. You know, talk about Mike Mendez. I mean, right. I didn't know how big the spider was. I didn't know. There's even a scene where I roll a quarter out, you know, and the spider grabs it and pulls it back. And the spider's about the size of a little dog at that point. And the quarter was digital.
Oh, you're kidding.
What?
So, yeah, everything. There's so many digital shots, which, again, would be a big budget thing. And we got lucky, and this effects house just did a great job.
Why do you even show up? Why don't they just make a digital Greg Grunberg?
That's what happened with Kevin Bacon in The Hollow Man. That was like a voiceover gig for him.
That's right. It's a remarkable, given the budget. Obviously, this is a low-budget film, but the quality of special effects is above and beyond.
Is it?
The
because,
average,
like, Sharknado, when that came out.
You watch it, you say, oh, that's just
it
crap.
It was awful.
Look, but, I was killed by
but you
Sharktopus.
Know what?
I was killed by Sharktopus, and I said, even I don't buy that.
Right. But I still loved it, but for its crappiness. It sounds like you're going to love this for the humor and for the ridiculousness of it, but it's well done.
It's so hard. Like, people were asked, that was another huge question. Obviously, Sharktopus, Sharknado, they open the door again. Every few years, you get these cheesy sci-fi movies that everybody embraces and loves. And I have to say, this is a real movie. Not that those weren't.
Right.
But
those weren't. I'll say it.
Okay. There you go. I didn't want to say it. But it's hard for me to say it. I so appreciate it. And I have friends in those movies. And I'm so happy for them. You know, instead of doing Dances with the Stars, you can do one of those and revive your career. So I'm so happy that those have opened the door. And I think people enjoy
it. Those films are basically special effects moments strung together loosely with some sort of semblance of a story.
Yeah.
This is an actual screenplay. And there's real characters and real stuff going on, as well as all the fun and the monsters.
Yeah, and the lead character is gorgeous.
He is a beautiful man.
Oh, Alex Mathis, the big ass exterminator.
The X, as we call him.
I did a ride along with my exterminator, with my Western exterminator.
I was wondering, is there some sort of participation with Western? Because that truck is just large as life, and we don't recognize it. Little guy with the hammer.
Of course,
and everything.
Yellow truck.
It's right there throughout the film.
Yeah,
it's
my awesome. My guy Norm. Okay, comes to our house.
My guy Norm.
My guy Norm. Everybody in
you
LA.
Mean the guy that is an exterminator for your house.
For my house, who's been doing it for years. We've experienced rats together. We've crawled under the house together. I've had a relationship,
this
a bromance.
This is truly
with this man.
Low budget. If you're using your own Western exterminator guy.
Hey, Norm, can I borrow your truck for a couple
weeks? I know I called about roaches. That was a lie. It was just to get you here. So I was walking around the house and I was like, hey, can I use the squirter? And he was showing, it was like having a ride along with a cop, you know, to prepare for a film. It was awesome.
Now, Greg, I know you got to run out the door because you got to get over to Channel 5, and we actually have William Shatner standing by to come on next.
Oh,
are you still doing the Yowza?
Yes, my app. especially pre-holiday, the app is bigger than ever, and it's doing really well. If people don't know about it, download Yowza. It give you coupons, save money on everything, especially stuff pre-holiday. So it's on the iPhone, it's on the Droid. Yowza is the
Greg was the first person that I knew that was on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
I seem to remember you got on Twitter because you were pumping out your app, right? That was kind of the
epilepsy charity stuff that I do for talkaboutit.org, and my oldest son has epilepsy. So when you reach a group that doesn't really have, that's underrepresented, they embrace, and also Heroes was on at the same time. I caught that fire at the right time, because now huge stars have 50,000, 80,000 followers. I have 1.5 million. And trust me, they're all, little Korean children. I have no idea who they are, but it works. It's great.
You still in the band, too? You still doing the music?
Yeah, band from TV is cooking and doing really well, and so much fun. And we're still getting all these crazy people knocking. Talk about Comic-Con. Everybody was like, can I sing in your band? I'm like, I don't know who you are. I'm so
Greg,
sorry.
I was a Romulan.
Exactly.
Greg, we had Chickless in here a couple of days ago. Have you had him sing with the band?
Absolutely. Chickie's
He's great.
He is so unbelievably talented.
He is.
Yeah. And by the way, the problem with Chickie is so we did this gig down at LA Live, huge for the Breeders' Cup. And we did our sound check, and his voice, he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is.
And then he gets, he's like, hey, after sound check, he's like, can I just play around with your drums a little bit? And there's 800 people at this party, and he gets up, and he's 10 times the drummer I am. Like, he's one of those guys. He's like a music man. You can pick up any instrument and do it. So we kicked him out immediately.
I don't want that.
Competition is the last thing you need.
No, we both support each other with our causes, and he occasionally does play with us. He's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was on promoting an autism event that he's getting ready to do here. So
he's
good. So you got a lot going on, Greg Grunberg.
I do, and I thank you guys for letting me come on and talk about the big-ass spider.
Hey, it's our pleasure. People, you are going to, if you like the Kevin and Bean Show, you will love Big Ass Spider. It's in theaters on Friday and available on demand as well. Greg Grunberg, stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Now that's music to wake up to right there. Muse on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
You guys ready to talk to the greatest Canadian ever?
Justin Bieber?
Nope. The great William Shatner back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hi, Bill. How are you, sir?
I am so glad to be there. Can you believe it? I'm in New York, and you're in Los Angeles, and I'll be in Los Angeles back home tomorrow night. But here I am in New York doing a tour, a publicity tour for my new album.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. We talked a lot about your record, told the kids about it up to its release last week. How was your appearance at the Amoeba Record Store in Hollywood? I understand the lines were out the door.
Out the door, and we sold out everything. It was incredible. The album's taking off, and the music video is popular. It's on YouTube, and it's out there. Listen, I want to tell you something about a happening that we're doing in the Los Angeles area. On the 23rd, the group Circa and I will be singing this album together at St. Rock in Hermosa Beach, and especially at the Canyon Club in Agoura on the 24th. Oh. And Coach House on the 25th in San Juan Capistrano.
Got a mini tour of Southern California.
That's awesome.
A mini tour of Southern California, but it's the beginning of it. And we're experimenting to see whether we've got what it takes to do a tour and get to Las Vegas and do all that kind of thing. So these three places in Los Angeles are a happening. The audience will tell us whether we've got it to continue on. And that's the nature of the experiment that I want.
This is what I love about you, Bill, is you're 82 years old. You do everything there is to do, and now you're a rock star hitting the road.
I'm Circa. Billy Sherwood, who co-wrote the album with me. Billy Sherwood put the music to this album. I wrote the words. Billy did the music, and he's done it brilliantly. He has composed the music that links my words and also the guest musicians that are on it are all sort of a unity because of Billy Sherwood.
Bill, let me ask you about writing the words for this album. You have written poetry in the past, but this is different from that when you're writing things that are going to be spoken out loud with music, right?
Well, you need a hook. So when they asked me what would I do, I said I'll write songs about a guy sitting on a beach in despair an hour before sunset. And I'll write a song about sunset, and I'll write a song about the sounds of the night, and I'll write a song about twilight, and I'll write a song about joyfully becoming to realize that the earth is beautiful and there's reason for hope and reason for joy.
Now, at that point, near the beginning, when you were telling them what you're going to write about, were you just pulling that stuff out of your ass, just making it up as...
Pulling it out of where?
I'm just saying, making it up as you went.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting phrase, too. I was pulling it out of my nose. Exactly.
So
purpose that served, I was pulling it out. Well, I was speculating what I would do, but I had no idea.
Right.
And then there was a book called Only You, Dick Daring, where the guy sold a show, and he didn't know what he had sold. He had to go back and figure out what he had sold. I was trying to figure out what I said again?
Yeah. What did I disagree to?
Songs around it, but you know, the songs became entities. The sounds of the night. The first sentence that came to me was "the cricket is the ticket to the rhythm of the night," and from that one sentence, I expanded into a song about the animals at night that come out and look in wonder at the thunder of the clouds.
Oh, you got such a great voice, Bill. I love hearing you say or read anything. Why did you choose to go the progressive music route? Why is that the kind of music you thought best fit your lyrics rather than pop or classical or country or anything else you could have chosen?
Well, I think it was the marriage of Billy Sherwood, who is one of the great progressive rock musicians. And then I began to realize it was the proper marriage. It was a marriage made in heaven, because progressive rock is that experimentation of the musical horizons. Progressive rock takes musicians to another element, and I write a lot of science fiction, and I connected the exploration of the future in science fiction with the exploration of music in progressive rock.
Kevin, can we play that quick clip before Bill has to go off the album from Ponder the Mystery? This is William Shatner.
Where does time go? I finish the dishes. I go to the store. Before I know it, time is no more. I plan for the weekend. I drive to the sea. Lunch at the deli. No time for tea.
See, that's why William Shatner rules, because I have a to-do list every day as well, and I can't make a song about it.
Right, that's true. But what you didn't allow to play was it now bursts into music. Those were the spoken words, but it isn't a spoken word album. It's a musical album. And a beat or two later, when you play that clip again or another song, wait for the music to explode. It's glorious music.
Ponder the Mystery, William Shatner's new album, available everywhere in stores and for download right now. And again, three big Southern California shows coming up on October the 23rd in Hermosa Beach at the St. Rock. Then the following night, Canyon Club at Gory Hills, and then the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano on the 25th. And after that, who knows where Bill's going to take this act. Hey, man, always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
This Friday night, it's Kevin and Bean's Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary. We've got tickets to the first singles party in how long, you guys? How long has it been since we had a Kevin and Bean singles
17
party?
17 years.
Yeah, 17 years.
Seems like it's
now.
Been a long time. It's going to be at the Queen Mary on Friday night, brought to you by the new horror movie Carrie, in theaters also on Friday. We are looking for single people who want to go to the party with us on Friday night to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. And I think we have a prom-related question we're asking this time, right?
Yeah, prom disasters. Just tell us everything went wrong.
Your worst prom stories.
Everything went south. 1-800-520-1067. You call, we'll talk to you just after the top of the hour and start giving away tickets for a party, which is Friday night. Time
right now?
Okay, you go.
Here's Ralph.
Thanks. Thanks for the good intro. Appreciate it. Speaking of the Scary Mary, the Scary Carrie prom on the Queen Mary. It'd been so much better if it was Scary Carrie Mary. But that sounds too Christmassy.
That's true.
That morning, Friday morning at the Queen Mary, we're having our Bloody Mary blood drive. See, we're at the Queen Mary. We're getting blood. So it's the Bloody Mary blood drive.
I think people understood.
I'll be serving Bloody Marys to everyone who comes on down. Come on down and get a Bloody Mary before you give a blood. No, don't. We're not going to do that. It's happening from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. I will be on site broadcasting live, doing the showbiz news from there and doing the morning show from there. Come on down. Give some blood. It's for a great cause. And there's tons of prizes for everybody who donates. So come on down to the Queen Mary this Friday morning.
from 6 a.m. all the way up to 3 p.m. I won't be there at 3 p.m. Well, I might.
You might.
I might just hang down there and then do the prom later on that evening. Come see me, won't you? I'm lonely. Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Gravity still in the number one slot, $44.3 million. Made it number one again this weekend. Then Captain Phillips, the new Tom Hanks movie, came in at number two with $26 million in its debut. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, $14.2 million, made it number three. Then Machete Kills and Runner, Runner. That's your top five. Prisoners, Insidious, Chapter 2, Rush, Don John, and Baggage Claim. Rounded out the top 10. The big news in movies other than Gravity is the fact that Charlie Hunnam has backed out of 50 Shades of Grey. The big screen version of the popular book was all set to be made with Hunnam as the lead Christian Grey, but he says his TV schedule, since he does Sons of Anarchy, makes it impossible for him to film the movie.
That's all right. He can focus on Sons of Anarchy. That's such a great show.
It's not a big loss. I don't think Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah. No dodged
word,
a bullet.
No word yet on who's going to step in. I think Bean. I think Bean should do it.
Well,
look,
sure.
If you want to talk about a creepy guy who ties up women, has sex with them,
well,
as if it was written
ties
for
them
Bean.
Up.
Well, you know, whatever it does, whatever he needs. This is interesting. In a world of concert residencies, Adele now is being offered money to sit down at the Caesar's Palace.
Really?
And perform there on a regular basis. Here's how it all happened. Elton John, who is currently doing his million-dollar piano show there in Vegas, has been trying to convince Adele to take up residency in Vegas and do a couple years there. He likes the gig, and he thinks she would, too. They're very close friends. So Caesars has stepped up to the plate and has offered her... How much do you think?
Ah, boy. I don't know how to guess.
$40 million.
Wow.
If she would do her show there at Caesars. Apparently, many of the hotels and casinos have offered Adele a deal, but Caesars has made the best one so far. No word
wow.
from her people yet whether she'll do it, but I would go see her if I was in Vegas.
I'd
see
too.
Adele.
I love Adele.
She's great.
That girl's fat.
That's why Kevin wins here.
Yeah.
I love her.
No,
I love
her.
But I would not go see her. She's overweight.
I know.
She should not live.
That is not what I'm saying.
That's exactly
I'm
what you're saying.
I'm saying it's Vegas, and it's tough to get me away from the booze and the gambling.
Here's some chocolate, Fat Joe.
Oh, stop it. You know what she doesn't do? She doesn't lick a sledgehammer. She doesn't ride in a wrecking ball. She just stands there and just sings her ass off.
Mm. She's fat.
Oh. How charming and chubby.
I hate you people more than I can express. And I express it often. And yet words still fail me. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jay Farrow is 26 years old today. TV personality Stacey Keibler is 34.
Wow.
Wow.
A little oomph in that bell.
Bean's penis just leapt out of his pants and started hitting the bell. Usher is 35. Steve Coogan is 48 years old today. Actress Lori Petty celebrates her 50th birthday. You ever see Tank Girl? You ever see the movie Tank Girl with Lori Petty?
Yes. That's the only movie I can remember her from.
Wow, come on. League of Her Own? League of Their Own?
Oh, she was in that. That's right. Yeah.
She was
Point Break?
Point Break?
Yep.
Come on, Bean. Step it up.
I forgot. Lori Petty's been in every movie ever made.
She has.
She was great in Captain Phillips.
Yeah, she was not in that.
She's one of those Somali pirates.
No,
she's an incredible actress.
She's not.
She can do anything.
Roger Moore, James Bond, 007. At one time. You ever see that Octopussy?
No.
That's a bad movie.
Is it?
Oh, boy. That's a bad James Bond movie right there. I was in on cable the other day, and I flipped around and said, I always like to sit down and watch a good James Bond movie.
Was it partially his fault, or was it?
Yeah, everybody involved
Everyone.
Should be punished severely.
Okay.
It was just a mess. 86 years old today, and singer Thomas Dolby.
She blinded me with science.
I'm Buzz. Yeah. What do I have to say?
Silence!
Silence!
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah. I'm Buzz. Silence. Yeah. I wish Sandra Bullock was in space with me. Hey. I'm Buzz. I just messed my spacesuit.
Oh. He is Thomas Dolby's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for tuning in on a Monday morning. Last night was the return of The Walking Dead on AMC, the first of 8 new episodes. And our friend Stephen Young, he plays Glenn on the show, Don't You Know, is going to join us in studio in about 15 minutes or so from right now. First, though, let's give away some tickets to join us at the Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary. It's going to be this Friday night. First singles party in a long time. DJ Omar Khan and DJ Jeremiah Red are going to be spinning. There's no host bar. We're looking for singles right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is a prom-themed because it's Carrie, of course. It's the classic Stephen King book turned into a movie, now turned into another movie starring Julianne Moore and Chloe Grace Moretz. It's also coming out on Friday. So we're taking prom disasters calls. Who's up first?
First, we're going to talk to Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Hello.
Hello?
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. Sorry to wake you. Mm-hmm. So prom disasters is the topic today. You had a bad one, I take it. That's why you're calling.
Oh, yes, yeah. So we get picked up by a limousine, and my buddy's dad gave us some vodka and water bottle. My first time drinking, so I started hammering it back to the bottle, and before I knew it, I'm pretty drunk. We pick up our date, we get to the venue, and I get out of the limousine, I stumble out. The instructors are watching me. My buddy is trying to help me up, carry me, and then they start checking out everybody, and they fall on smell on me, so they pulled me out of line. They didn't let me in.
Which is exactly what we're going to do. Thank you for calling. Here's the thing.
What's the point of this story?
Here's the idea behind the singles party. It's impossible to find a guy or a girl in Los Angeles. So at least with this, you know that you have K-Rock in common. You know that you listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. So at least there's a starting point for singles. But they have to be, like, the guys have to be guys that girls will want to meet.
And are you suggesting that the ladies weren't lined up to meet Johnny?
And the girls need to be the kind of girls that guys would want to meet, which of course is anyone. So that's what we're talking about.
So we need to see some personality. You need to be sound like the type of person that
yes.
we think the opposite sex is going to be looking for on Friday night.
Correct.
All right, you failed with Johnny. Let me see how I do. I'm going to try Vicky. Vicky's on line 6. Let's see if she's
It's
anywhere.
Always easier with girls, you
yeah,
know that.
It is.
Hey Vicky.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You're in.
Good
morning. Prom disasters, Vicky. What happened?
How disasters? Let's see. Well, I'm a high school cheerleader at the time, and
you're in.
Sorry, go ahead.
I got dumped. No, I got dumped 4 hours prior to the event. He was a jock, so it was quite a nightmare. So I almost turned into Carrie myself, but no, I kept my cool, and it was an awesome night. Stayed out the whole night with the high school
So
friends.
What happened? Why 2 years are you dating, and then the day of your prom, you get dumped? What was the reason?
You know
did you
want
to go with someone else?
You know what? I think the word got out that I did go to a prom the week before that with someone else. So
No, you're a kind of girl. Hang on. Bring another female. We need you to kind of keep it even. So if you're a girl, bring a girl. If you're a guy, bring a guy. And that way we can make sure the numbers are even.
All right. Let's try Michael. He's up next. He's on line 7 here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about this Friday night, the Scary Carrie Prom on board the Queen Mary. Michael, what happened to you?
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So I was on my way to prom, and before we even got into the limo, my date had got a little bit intoxicated,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. And in the limo, she had actually thrown up on all of us.
She spread it around. She was not keeping it for herself.
Yeah, misery loves company, apparently.
Love it. Oh.
So, what did you guys do? You're all covered in vomit. What did you do about going to the prom that night?
So we didn't go to prom. So we're all thinking, you know what? We'll just make the best of the night. We'll take her home. We'll go to after prom. You know, it's a huge party
right,
after
sure.
prom, obviously.
Sure.
And we get to after prom. It's a long line. We get inside finally, and wouldn't you know, pepper spray bombs go off inside the venue. So
good times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic.
If you haven't been pepper sprayed, that's something everybody should really experience at
wow.
least once.
That evening had everything.
Yes, it did. Hold on, Michael. Thank you.
All right, let's try Dylan. Dylan's going to bring a little violence into the story here. He's on line 3.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, talking about singles party Friday night?
Yeah.
Prom disasters. So what happened to you?
I was at a prom after party, and we were all chilling in our hotel room. And we get a knock on our door, and we have a little peephole we can look through.
Mm-hmm.
We look through it, and we just see a guy standing there with a white shirt on, covered in blood,
oh.
and his eyes closed. So we send the biggest guy in our room out, and he opens the door, and I guess out of the range of the peephole was another guy that just socked him in the face and broke his jaw right then and there.
What?
What is happening?
Was it, why were they beating up on the people in your group?
No idea. And then right as that happened, we got a call from someone who was in our room downstairs, and there was fireworks going off in the room next door to them.
Sweet. That's a, Kevin, that's the party you should have been in.
That sounds like a problem you would have enjoyed, Kevin.
Those are my people. That's my prom after party right there.
All right, yeah. Dylan, you're in. Bring a single guy friend, please. We're talking about Friday night. We got time for just a couple more calls, but we can take a few more off the air, too. Let's try Angel. He's on line one. He's up next.
All right. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
She's up.
It's actually a girl.
Okay.
Okay.
So sorry.
Prom disaster.
So, okay, so I was prom queen that year. And
you're in.
You're in.
Let her get to the no underwear part.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, yes. And I had a long dress on that was really tight, so I couldn't wear any underwear. And as I'm walking up the stairs, my shoes got caught on my dress, and the whole back actually tore. So.
Right on.
Yeah,
so you know this is a come as you are prom party Friday night, right? You understand that, right?
So we would like whatever that may have been a prom disaster for you, but we would like you to recreate that.
Okay, I could do that.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll see you there. Let's try one more. How about Jackie? She's on line five, and she's up next on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Prom morning. Disasters. What happened?
Well, we were coming back from the dance floor, and you know you're supposed to be looking all fabulous that night.
Sure.
Don't know what happened, who fell, but all of a sudden, there's like 20 of us on the floor. We fell against the table, and ouch, or anything. It was horrible.
Why? I would have rushed over to the photographer.
No,
that's the best. What's
awesome.
Wrong with you?
My hair was so messed up.
Oh, Jackie.
Not even funny.
Oh.
That's great. All right, Jackie, we will see you on Friday night. Please, again, we'll take a few more calls off the air at 1-800-520-1067. We'll have tickets every day this week on the Kevin DeBee Show. The event is Friday night at the Queen Mary. You can get your details at krock.com. Hey, forget all the zombies that are always trying to kill him. We have a very sad Detroit Tigers fan in our studio right now, ladies and gentlemen. From The Walking Dead, actor Stephen Young. He is Glenn, and he joins us back on the Kevin DeBee Show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Except for that eighth and ninth inning, you're great.
It's the question mark at the end.
Anyway, it's great to see you
he
again.
He literally crawled into the station today. He's just a broken man.
Oh, man.
Now, we have to make a decision here as we talk about The Walking Dead and its return on AMC last night. So are we going spoilers out here? Is that what we're doing? Are we telling people that we're going to talk about last night's episode?
Sure.
So if you didn't see it, then please go away.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. Turn off.
It was the closest I can remember Glenn coming to meeting the end last night. You got in a pretty dicey spot with a couple of those zombies.
Was that the closest?
Well,
I think Glenn,
anyway.
It's up there.
It's up there. I think Glenn.
I mean, you had two on you at one point.
That's true. That is very true. Thank God for the body armor.
Yeah.
But I will say Glenn has eaten crap. Quite a bit every single year. Every year they find a new way to almost destroy him.
Do you keep waiting for the end to come? Do you keep going, what, you just get it over with?
Or? Oh, yeah. I'm just now, you know, like I'm like a rat, like just continually shocked. It's like, oh, it's whatever now. I'm habituated, and we'll see what happens.
So last night, it's raining.
On that show, you know that you could die. I mean, at least when this script arrives, you know that it might be your time, and that's got to be nervous, yeah.
Yeah. It is a sad reality.
So last night, it's raining walkers. That was happening.
Yes.
That was weird in the store. That was bizarre.
What are those scenes like the one where you have the two on you? What are those scenes like to shoot? Do they take a super long time?
Actually, that scene was pretty quick, mostly because the actors playing the walkers were very great. And Greg set up the shot pretty efficiently and amazing. Like, it was like a good shot. The walkers, you know, it's so funny, like, going in between takes, being like, all right, you know what, that worked. Why don't you come up, like, faster on my knee, and then that way I can turn and we can really
right.
sell this, you know?
And he's like, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like,
that is
okay,
weird.
Great. Because he has all that crap, and he's like, all right, great. And then we go, action, and then he's like, ah, it's great. He's awesome. They're awesome. So
do
awesome.
You ever get used to a job where you're working with zombies, or does it still kind of crack you up when you go to work?
You know, every day that we have like a new like walker on set, I now I'm at the point where I'm like trying to figure it out. Like, it's like, what are the techniques that they use to get his mouth so decayed and disgusting?
Oh, really?
Or like, I'll ask Greg, I'll be like, what did you guys do? Because it's so sick.
Yeah,
it's so sick. And now I'm past the point where it's like scary. I'm just at the point where I'm just fascinated at what horrible mind created this.
Well, they do incredible things. I mean, again, spoiler alert, if you didn't see last night's Walking Dead, although this isn't a plot point, there's the one that's hanging by his entrails from the ceiling.
that was sweet.
I'd never seen that shot before. And then there was the other one who was down on the floor and then got up, and like half of him stayed on the floor when he got up. He was just kind of just – it was just goo.
Yeah, that one – or the one that Lawrence, he had to peel his head – His skin off of his head.
They pretty much upped the gore on this show, I think. They did last
did
night.
They?
I think so. Just even the standing at the fence taking him out. I mean, it's just, it's craziness to watch that.
It's episode one. You got to come in, come in hard.
Come in hard, exactly. So season four is how it starts. How far after the end of season three, Stephen, if you know?
It's about 6 or 7 months afterwards. They've built a little bit of a civilization for themselves.
Growing crops,
having a council, understanding how to run this small city, if you will. So they're feeling all right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird, though, in some of the scenes with Glenn and with Maggie, is there's almost a sense of normalcy to their life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would happen. I mean, that's the new normal, is all these, you know, however long it's been since the zombie thing started. I mean, at some point you kind of go back to some sort of regular life, and that seems like where you're at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's two camps within that, though. You know, if you noticed Glenn, he's a little bit more cautious.
You know?
For him, he's still like, I don't buy the safety in here completely just yet.
Because they try to kill you in every episode.
Yeah, right? Like, if anyone knows, Glenn knows. But, you know, for others...
Like, you were scared when you thought she might be pregnant because of everything going on.
Exactly. He knows how brutal this world is. So to bring a baby in, it's not just like you might... die like Lori did in childbirth. He's not just afraid of that. He's afraid of everything after that, you know. So, you know, but Maggie's on the
I'm afraid of her. Because she's like, hey, we just got to live. And whoa. Here in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, take it easy.
Things don't change.
I'm always surprised that, you know, like Rick's baby, who looks to be like two or something now, whatever she is. But, I mean, these are babies that are born basically without any kind of medical care, without vaccinations, without any of the things that we kind of are used to in the modern world now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Little House on the Prairie days or something.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, crazy how the end ended the way it did. It's, you know, this whole world has been stripped bare, not just with, you know, how society functions, but just with, you know, monuments, buildings, healthcare. Everything has been stripped down to its basic raw place. So now... you're dealing with people who have been acclimated to some sort of safety, but now they have nothing. So it's interesting.
Yeah, you think we have a government shutdown now. The Walking Dead is a real government shutdown.
Yes, that is a true government shutdown.
Stephen Yeun is here. He plays Glenn. We need to take a break. Of course, Walking Dead is on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Do you get asked everywhere you go what's coming up?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, does it get old?
Well, you know what? It's every year the hardest part is like going through press and being like, I can't tell you anything. But
I don't know why I'm here.
Yeah, it's like, why? I'm so sorry I'm here.
Can you tell me about the tease that we saw for next week about the rat? Can we talk about that? They teased that.
Yes. I can't say anything, but, you know, what I can say is... their mysteries abound.
Okay. All right.
Vague as ever.
Stephen Yeun is here. We'll be right back. Stephen Yeun is in the studio with us talking about The Walking Dead.
We had Mr. Kirkman on Friday morning, Stephen. He was from New York City Comic Con. I guess you were out there as well. What was it like for you?
It was great. The panel for us, I think, was the best panel we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes it great versus...
You know, before, I think we really wanted to get these questions answered, and then we realized, like, we can't answer any questions.
Right.
So why don't we just have fun up there? And it was such a great interaction with the fans, and then we announced Abraham, played by Michael Cudlitz,
I wanted to ask you about that.
The man.
We love him so much, and I was so mad because we had, as I said, we had Robert Kirkman on Friday, and we were just begging him for anything. He had nothing, of course, completely. And then I see, like, later that day they make the announcement. I'm like, you mother effer. You could have told us that.
Honestly, when he stood up and they put the camera on him, and he was like, what about Abraham? And he just, like, goes on a speech. People were just stunned, and then he... drops the mic, and they just went ballistic.
I love that so much.
So what do we know about Abraham? Well, who's he going to play?
Kulitz is going to play Abraham.
He's gonna, yeah.
Right, but what do we know about him? I mean, where's he? What's
his
story?
He's from the comic. He is a military guy. That's all I will say.
Again, you're not saying anything?
Do you guys want me to be here next year, maybe?
I see. So if the actor speaks too much in the press, that's how they get killed off on the show.
You know
show.
What I mean? You never know. Why stack the cards against yourself?
Sure.
Yeah, I
can see that. Is it difficult keeping track of what's aired and what hasn't aired as far as what you can talk about?
Actually, yes.
Because you've done... you're doing how many? 16?
16,
and
yeah.
You've already done 12 or 13.
Yeah, that's why I hermit up in between, and then I just...
You hermit up?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just don't say anything to anybody.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
You disappear.
I disappear.
I didn't...
Baseball and cry.
I didn't read the article because reading is for losers, Stephen, but losers. I did see the headline where you said that the season 4 of Walking Dead is beautiful. Now,
yes.
That's not a word that automatically comes to mind on your show. What were you talking about in that?
You know, I was referring to how Scott Gimple has set up this season, how masterfully of a mind he is.
He's the new showrunner, right?
Yes, he's a new showrunner.
Basically the top guy.
Yes, he is the guy. Right. And the writer's room and him have created such an amazing season. It's not, you know, our prior seasons were great, but I feel like we had those heavy tones, like we were saying, like a speed metal type of vibe, where a lot of things were happening.
Yeah, it never let up.
Didn't let up.
That's true.
But this season is more like a sonata, you know, just has all the lows and then the highs and then the epic builds and then all these tiny small moments, and I think people are in for quite a ride this season.
Why can't you guys keep a showrunner? What's up with that? Season 4, you're on the third guy already.
It's exhausting.
You know what? I don't know anything about that behind the scenes, but what I can say is, like, this season and looking forward, we look pretty darn good. Scott Gimple.
If I were playing Glenn on the show, I would every day be coming to the set and pitching all sorts of sex positions. I would be like, look, Glenn's got he's a young, healthy guy with a very beautiful partner. Wouldn't it be, it'd be unrealistic for us not to be boning all the time. That's how I would sell it as an actor.
Like someone comes into their cell, they're like, where's Maggie and Glenn?
Right.
And they leave and then they come out from the ceiling.
Right,
having
exactly.
Just had sex in the ceiling.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, how about all the stuff off screen? You can just imagine what's going on. Whenever they're not on screen, they're probably, we'll see what's going on.
Will we see the governor again, Stephen?
I don't know.
No, we do know that.
Yeah,
do
we
you?
Asked we asked Robert Kirkman that, and he said that we would see him again.
This seems like a bait tactic.
No, no,
that seems like.
Shut up.
This is a solid
this
bait tactic.
If we were smart, you would be right.
No, he told us that you could tell us anything you want. That's what Robert Kirkman said.
Oh, man.
No, we were told that he is coming back. Now, during The Talking Dead last night, they showed a teaser for next week, and there's somebody feeding a rat to a walker.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that? What's happening?
I can't tell you.
Is that why there are so many... Is that why there's an increase of walkers that seem to be building up around the prison?
I think that's a good
someone's feeding.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
All right,
you know,
is it Carl and will he die?
No, I'm not saying anything. All right.
By the way, Kevin, I know you for years. You know, you hate Carl. You want to kill Carl. But last night he wasn't annoying, was he?
Are you kidding? He was spying on the story time. Little baby.
What?
She's teaching the kids to use a knife. That's what they should be doing because they're going to need to use knives.
But what did kill my dad?
But he didn't say he was going to go run and tell his dad.
Oh, I don't feel like I really don't feel like I'm making any progress.
You're not.
Like, I feel like I know Chip agrees with me. That's one person in this world, and I believe that's it that wants him to die.
I like him. Now that he's a little bit older, I find him less annoying.
Where's his cowboy hat?
He's growing up.
Has he moved on from the cowboy hat?
I mean, I don't know if you can say he's moved on, but I think it's semblances of like pulling away, you know, being his own boy man, you know, and so it's he's doing it.
Is he the future? Is that what this is built around? I mean, my kill Carl might be just the opposite of what's going to happen in the show.
what's interesting is what you're watching a kid grow up,
right?
And most kids are annoying. And you know what I mean? Like, they're irrational. But then as you see them grow, you're going to see, especially the way that Chandler plays Carl, like, you're going to see so much stuff coming in this next season where you're just like, wow.
You already see him sort of looking at his dad like, mm-hmm. his dad is sort of out of touch, and that's a teenager thing, but you sort of buy, like, maybe Carl's right.
Yeah, I mean, did you see him come to the pig pen in this episode where he's like, you haven't seen him for 6 months and now he's huge?
Yeah.
Like, when he came into the trailer, he was like, Chandler's here. I was like, oh, what's up, Chandler? He's like, what's up, Steve? yo, man, your voice is lower than mine, man. What the hell?
He's going to have a beard.
Yeah, it's like, I can't even have a beard, and Carl's going to have a beard.
Speaking of the pig pen, by the way, again, spoiler alert if you've not seen last night's Walking Dead, is we do meet Violet the pig.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling us that Violet is already an internet celebrity.
There's a Violet the pig Twitter, and one of our writers keeps pushing to get it verified, Nicole Beattie, so let's do it. The pig.
But you don't know who it is, or who is it?
No. It's probably some squatter, some amazing timed squatter. As soon as they saw Violet the pig, it's like, get on that now.
Start a Twitter account immediately.
It's like a 53-year-old man in Wisconsin.
Is there any chance, maybe you've already covered this in the show, animals are not affected by the zombie virus, so there is no zombie pig in our future, right?
No.
That's what I wondered. I wondered if the pig was eyes were going to open, it was going to be like red eyes.
And, no.
So it doesn't affect animals.
No. They're lucky.
All right. We're almost out of time with actor Steven Yeun here on The Kevin Bean Show. Again, talking about The Walking Dead Season 4. 8 episodes will air. The first one was last night. And then you guys take a little break. Then you come out for the final 8 in February is when they begin.
Yes.
How many have you filmed already?
We're almost done. We're about 3 away from being done.
How long does it take to do one episode?
8 working days.
8?
Yeah. So about 2-ish weeks. We should really be getting about 10 to 12 for what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But that's a testament to the cast and crew. We're just going for it, and we finish in 8.
Are we going to find out why Michonne is now the happiest person on Earth, the complete opposite of her personality last year?
She's almost telling jokes. Seriously.
I think, she's yucking it up.
I think she's found a comfort in this place. I think a lot of people have found a comfort in this place. And, you know, that doesn't mean that Michonne's side is gone. Just wait till you see what you see.
I'll bet.
You know what
she's the only one that seems to still be worried about the governor, too.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems like that's going to come back to bite him in the ass.
We'll see what happens.
Stephen, how many seasons would you like to see The Walking Dead go on TV?
I'd like it to go as long as we don't run out of story to tell. I think you don't want to go too long. I mean, Breaking Bad did an amazing job.
Yeah, they were perfect.
Yeah, they're perfect, right? And so for us, our goal is this show is big, and this show has a lot of stuff associated with it in terms of, like, you know, memorabilia or whatever and all that stuff. And I think one thing that's true for the standpoint of the cast and crew is, and the writers and everyone involved creatively, like, we don't want it to be some sort of massive conglomerate type of business type of thing. We want it to be this artful show that is realistic and hard hitting, and that's what we're going for every season.
And a little hard to watch, which makes it fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah.
What are you saving up to buy? How many seasons do you need to work until you can buy what? Like a helicopter, an island? What's your goal?
Oh goodness, I don't think I think I need like 100 more seasons to buy what I need.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's always great to see you. We couldn't be bigger fans. We could not have been more excited to have that back on our TVs last night.
We just
can't wait for next week. I mean, look, it's tough for all of us to lose Breaking Bad, but thank God The Walking Dead has arrived just on time to
Thank
fill up
you
our
so
Sunday
much.
Nights.
Thank Appreciate you very it. Much.
Always good to see you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening Remix. To Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
So sad that Andrew Siciliano was healthy enough to do the red zone yesterday. Every week now, I'm hoping that Kevin is going to be in there filling in.
It's going to be the Arizona Phoenix.
When I nail it, you guys are all going to apologize to me.
Yes
we will. We certainly
that
will.
That will happen. I guarantee
when that happens,
it.
That will happen.
I will be happy to apologize when that happens. Right.
Just want to make
anyway,
sure.
Anyway, the man himself, the great Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
Who's eating wings today, by the way? I'm trying to remember.
I believe I have some wings
winners,
over here.
Winners,
I think,
wings.
I think you've got some wings there, Ralph.
That's right.
Kevin's plate looks kind of empty right now.
Wings are for winners.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is about.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
No wings for you.
What does that mean?
You haven't seen that commercial?
No.
Wings are for winners?
Oh, no. Yeah. I haven't, but you're correct.
Yeah.
I guess people in San Francisco are eating wings today, Kevin.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are eating them. We're not.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Gravity, still number one at the box office in its second week, $44.3 million. Made it number one. Captain Phillips was expected to challenge Gravity for the number one slot. However, it only made about half as much as Gravity did this weekend. $26 million made it number two. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 was third. Then Machete Kills. Oh, Machete. Came at number four with 3.8.
So how was that, Kevin?
I loved it.
Big fun?
I loved it.
It looked fun.
It was, yeah, it was fun. It was absurd. Everything was absurd. It's just
absurd, stupid.
Hundreds of people dead. It was great.
Good. Was it loud?
It was loud.
Oh, good.
It was loud.
How was Charlie Sheen?
Excuse me. Carlos Estevez.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what he's doing by now. Yeah, he was the president, and he may have been all right, but not great. Everything else was great, though.
All right. Runner was fifth. Prisoners, Insidious Chapter 2, Rush, Don John, and Baggage Claim running out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Another big movie story was that Charlie Hunnam backed out of 50 Shades of Grey, the big screen version of that popular book. He was supposed to play the male lead, Christian Grey, in that film. However, he says, I forgot. You know what? I'm doing a TV show over here, Sons of Anarchy. What was I thinking? I don't have time to do your movie that looks like it's going to be horrible.
That was a bizarre choice from the beginning to me.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why he would take that risk.
Well, look, I understand it. He's a guy. He's got a popular TV series. He's offered a role in a big budget major motion picture, and the temptation is, yes, I want to make the leap to films.
Sure.
I'd like to star in a movie. Who wouldn't? He was in Pacific Rim, did very well in that film. He's ready to make the leap to leading man.
Sure.
And so the temptation was, yes, I'll play Christian Grey. And then maybe he read the book. And said, what? This could be a movie?
You know what's funny is how well that book did and how everyone that reads it is willing to admit what crap it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even the ones who like it say, oh, it's not good. Don't
right.
get me wrong.
Yeah. It's weird.
Lisa, did you read it?
Uh-uh. I didn't. I wasn't really interested. I
went through a 12-pack of C batteries reading it. That's what most women say. Here's my Ever-Readies. Meg Ryan's going to get a TV series. I haven't heard from Meg Ryan much lately. Mm-hmm. She, of course, was a big movie star back in the day with Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally. Now she is going to be doing a sitcom for NBC, where she plays a single mom who returns to her New York publishing house, where she was once a brilliant editor, only to find now that she works for a neurotic 30-year-old who was once her former intern.
Hmm.
And so to compensate, the character undergoes some serious cosmetic surgery, and her lips look like inner tubes.
I think that's just real life. That's just Meg Ryan real life.
You're going to be on television. You have to explain that away somehow. Teen Wolf on MTV has been picked up for a fourth season. MTV executives made the announcement at the Comic-Con in New York City this weekend. Not only that, but they also said they have added to the schedule a post show where live people will sit down on a couch and talk about Teen Wolf.
Because of all the layers,
yes,
Ralph, of all the
it's a complex, deep, deep show that needs to be broken down after you watch Teen Wolf. You need someone to explain it to you. If you're watching Teen Wolf, you probably do need someone to explain it to you. It will be called Wolf Watch.
I hope Dave is hosting.
I do too.
Oh, welcome to Wolf Watch.
He does call it Wolf.
Oh, Teen Wolf.
What did you guys think of the episode?
I'm just saying that every show needs a breakdown show afterwards. I know it's a very popular thing now.
It is the trend, yeah.
Started with Talking Dead and then Talking Bad. And I understand it's a cheap, easy way for a network to piggyback onto a successful series and add another half an hour of ratings. But really, stop it.
By the way, I think Chris Hardwick is a great host of that, too.
Chris does a great job.
It's not a slam dunk to have a host for any of these kinds of after shows.
I'm just saying not every show can support half an hour of conversation afterwards.
I agree. I hear you.
No.
I'm just saying you can't not watch either of the Teen Wolf movies when they're on and you come across them on cable because they're both awesome.
Yes, however,
that's what I'm saying.
Sadly, the series has nothing to do with the feature film.
No, I understand that. I understand that. Just while we're on the topic of Teen Wolf.
All right.
How do you love Teen Wolf so much?
Because they're awesome movies.
Would you ever expect a million years to be a big Teen Wolf fan?
What the hell's going on? I come across Teen Wolf, I move on.
Really?
Yeah, to anything else.
How do you not want to see Michael J. Fox play basketball like a baller?
Here's the problem, Bean, and you may not have seen Teen Wolf 2,
with Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Really?
What?
Did you?
Yeah.
You can't resist that one when it comes on.
I can't resist
What's
that one either.
Happening?
Really? I love Jason Bateman so much.
You see that? You say, oh, I got to watch that one?
I do. Look, I know it's not anywhere near as good as the first movie, but I still enjoy it as well.
Wow. You have bad taste like I do. Welcome to the club.
Apparently, he's got a weak spot, and it's Woof movies.
That's right. Teen Woof is my guilty pleasure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jay Farrow, very funny comedian, is 26 years old today. Stacey Keibler turns 34. Usher is 35. Steve Coogan, one of my favorite British actors. Very funny, man. You ever see the Alan Partridge? You ever see the Alan Partridge show?
No.
Boy, good stuff. Pick it up on DVD.
Is that BBC?
Get a chance. Yeah. So funny.
I love the Alan Partridge Project. They were great. That Eye in the Sky song and...
Alan Parsons.
File.
Alan Partridge is a morning radio show host. He's got a morning
show. Yeah.
And he's a dick.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he's getting divorced, and he's living in this hotel, and he's down on his luck, and he's just hilarious. Love that show. 48 years old today, Steve Coogan. His Lori Petty is 50. And Roger Moore, at one time, 007, is now 0086. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it. Touchdown. Patriots.
Kenbrell. Tompkins.
Brady's back. That's your quarterback. Pull off the building. Unicorns. Show ponies. Where's the beef? Boy, when you thought you'd seen it all, when it's total despair, 14 years in the league, this situation after situation he's been through, and to elevate a rookie, my God.
My God, indeed. Wow. That's the call from Bob and Scott on the Sports Hub in New England. The incredible Patriots come back and win with just mere seconds on the clock. And, yeah, that pass that Tom Brady made to a rookie. What an incredible ending to a game. And now the Saints join the list of those who are no longer undefeated. Our friend Andrew Siciliano on the line, ladies and gentlemen, from the NFL Network. And, of course, DirecTV Red Zone. Hi, Andrew.
Did Scott Zolak yell, where's the beef?
He did.
Where's
the beef? At one point he yelled, where's the beef? Yeah.
Does anyone get that anymore? I mean,
no,
I think
it doesn't mean anything.
Remember the old Wendy's commercial, but, like, do kids these days
probably not
know
you know what's funny is
the beef means?
You know what's funny is, as professional as most sports announcers are, when something unbelievable like that happens, they just turn into just bumbling idiots. It's awesome.
You would never hear that on a national call. That's like, I mean, that's the local radio call. You're supposed to be happy.
You're supposed to be a homer, right? Exactly.
A former Patriot. He used to be a Patriot, and so and you got to realize your broadcast audience are people that are having the same reaction.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
hey,
so you're going to lose your mind. We have Vin. Not to get off on a sidetrack here. We have Vin here, and Vin would never do that because we have the utmost professional of professional broadcast,
right?
But he does it in his own very unique poetic style.
Exactly. And by the way, Andrew, as incredible as that Patriots come from behind victory was, as unlikely as that was, even from a great, great quarterback like Tom Brady, nothing prepared me for the sweater he wore in the interview after the game.
I tweeted a photo from my dressing room, and it went around the world pretty fast. He was wearing, I don't know how I would describe it. It kind of looked like, well, I mean, it was an old man sweater, but it almost looked like a blanket or a rug you took off the floor in your living room.
It did. It was
giant
flowing white sweater.
It looked like a robe, almost.
Yeah. It looked like he was in, I don't know, some sort of a fall catalog. I don't know. It was just a bizarre choice to wear at a press conference, wasn't it?
But I guess as soon as you do that, you can wear whatever you want.
Yeah, listen, I guess
he has
so.
Super Bowl rings and MVP trophies, and he has Giselle. He can wear whatever the hell he wants.
You think she
who am I?
Do you think she dresses him?
Big beard and bad haircut to question his fashion.
Do you think, like, she says, here, this'll look good? And he just goes, okay.
He has to have, on a serious note, he has to have a stylist, right? He has
yes,
to have someone that specifically picks stuff out for the podium postgame. Because last week, and again, I cannot believe I'm having this conversation.
Right, I know.
Last week, he had on this sport coat with a turtleneck. Which, I mean, it was
kind of the fashion that college football referees wear to the stadium on fall Saturdays. You know, the mock turtle and the dickie and the
right
coat, except it was far more stylish than that. And again, only something Tom Brady could pull off.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, let's talk. Let's hit a couple of games. There were definitely, as you always say to us, Andrew, it's the greatest reality show on earth. I just want to ask you for a couple of comments. First of all, the Texans, who not only got obliterated by the Rams, I bring that up because what's the deal with booing your own quarterback getting hurt? What's that story?
Right. They're not the first to do it. I mean, people do it in Philadelphia, you know, another fan base. Sorry, Ralph. it's been done before. There's a backstory here. They're fed up with their quarterback, and they wanted him benched this week. He has the dubious honor of throwing a pick six, mean interception that goes back for a touchdown the other way in four consecutive games. They want him out. They think they have a championship team. So when he gets hurt, it kind of fulfilled their wishes.
Right.
However, you are barbaric when you do that. And you know it's bad when it's not only one player speaking out against it. It's every single player in the locker room, and all of them to a man say, the other team was saying to us, wow, this is BS. And the other team being the Rams, they went into their locker room afterwards and said the same thing to the media. They were tweeting about it as well. Chris Long, son of Howie. Chris Long took to Twitter, and he ripped the fans in Houston as well as they were leaving with a victory, saying, how dare you boo and cheer, whatever it was, when your quarterback got hurt.
And that's legitimate criticism, by the way. I agree with that as well.
And I don't mean to be the guy that says, well, you know, there are kids around you. Don't act that way.
Right.
But for Pete's sake, there are kids around you.
Yeah, don't act that way.
It's not about the cursing. It's just about teaching them that this is acceptable fan behavior.
Right. All right. A couple more games I want to hit with you, Andrew. Why did the Broncos only win 35-19 over the Jaguars when they were favored by 28?
A couple of reasons. Number one, the Jaguars get paychecks too. This is going to sound cliche, but don't underestimate the people think we're roadkill. We're going to show them wrong factor.
Yeah.
Now they played over their heads and they still lost. By what, 16? But they kept it close. They kept it interesting. Jacksonville is not good enough to beat Denver on any field at any time. There's an excellent chance. You want to talk about possibilities come December. People think that the Broncos can go 16-0. I don't think they will. They play Kansas City twice. Chiefs are 6-0. They have tough games ahead of them, including at Indianapolis as well. I think the Jaguars, there's a heck of a better chance of them going 0-16 than the Broncos going 16-0. But Jacksonville played over its head because it was mad. I mean, look, the two teams' Twitter feeds were fighting during the week. I don't even know if you saw that. Did
awesome.
You?
No.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos sent out some tweet. We scored 51 yesterday against the Cowboys. The Jaguars have scored 51 all year. And then the Jaguars' official Twitter feed sent out, keep it classy, Denver. I mean, we got like, you know, 24-year-old kids fresh out of college running official Twitter feeds. Getting snippy at each other.
People need to be careful who they let take over their Twitter feed. That's all I know.
Yeah, we certainly have learned that, haven't we, K-Rock, David? All right, in our remaining moments, Andrew, why do San Diego Charger fans, why did they not buy tickets for this game tonight on Monday Night Football with Indianapolis coming in? You think that would be a quick sellout? I mean, this thing very nearly was not on TV tonight, right?
And it would have been the first Monday night game, I think, since the 90s, blacked out in the local market.
That's crazy.
ESPN or the Chargers stepped in. They made sure that the game's going to be on TV tonight in San Diego. Listen, I don't want to criticize fans and say spend your money here because fans make their own choices as to how they shell out their hard-earned income. I would think that this Charger team is fun to watch. You know, if Phillip Rivers has 400 yards in three of his last four games, they're a rejuvenated team.
Right.
Are they a championship team? No, but I think Mike McCoy's putting a good product on the field. And it's Monday Night Football. It's an event. It's an event with Andrew Luck and the Colts coming in. You're not getting a bad game. You're getting a good game. There's something about, regardless of how good or bad your team is, the event that is Monday Night Football,
right,
like game day coming to the Coliseum on a Saturday, to me it's something that you want to go to, and it was surprising and disappointing that it had to get this far.
Andrew is the host of the DirecTV Red Zone on NFL Sunday Ticket and also Around the League Live, which is going to be this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Anything you want to tip us off to about what you're going to be talking about today, Andrew?
I wish I could just use an hour to rip Red Sox fans, but I won't.
For leaving early and missing what?
No, it's just the Red Sox
loves is just nauseating, because Red Sox fans learn to win. Just learn to win with a little bit of class. You're becoming the Yankee fans that for generations you ripped and said we would never be that way. Now you're worse.
But they have those hilarious beards.
Oh, they're so cute with their beards and their excessive public drunkenness. They're so cute. And David Ortiz has never been busted for using anything, ever. Nor will he ever again.
Well, and fortunately, there's
not coming up on TV today.
Fortunately, but, there's no baseball talk on Around the League Live. It's going to be on the NFL Network this afternoon at 3 with our good friend Andrew Siciliano, who joins us Mondays on the Kevin Beach Show. Have a great week, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Rudy, Rudy, Boner, Boner, whose dog is in there? What's going on?
That's me. It's the world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean, 928. I went to Captain Phillips this weekend, and if Tourette's is a personal issue to you, maybe you should tune away for a little bit, because I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. I know that the person that was sitting next to me with Tourette's can't help it.
Yeah.
Barking?
That's
her thing?
Loud?
When they were doing that, through the entire movie, and the more stressful it got, the more barking happened.
Oh, my God.
And it was Friday night, so it was packed.
Wow. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be unkind here, but should Tourette's people be allowed to go to the movies if that's what happens?
I don't know. Listen, I understand it's not their fault and I'm being sort of an a-hole by telling this story, but it happened and I was sitting next to it and I don't know what happened in Captain Phillips. I think he was rescued.
But doesn't it seem like...
You have Tourette's?
If you're having an attack, doesn't it seem like just if you were having an asthma attack or something like that and you're making a lot of noise, you would step out of the theater, I think, for the comfort of the other passengers.
Right, but she,
passengers,
but,
listen to me. Moviegoers.
But she that was her deal. And she went to a movie. Then she started spitting. And it, literally, like somebody who has the attention span of me, I can't pay attention to the movie at that point. And there's nowhere else to move. And people were going and they were complaining and they were getting a ticket for another movie. And I just figured I'd just ride it out. I'm not going to be a dick there. I'll just be a dick here and tell the story. But my God, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, that's a tough. That's tough. I would not have enjoyed that. I would have had no patience for that.
I, to my discredit, loved it.
So you would have loved being on the American Airlines flight from Miami to Tampa then. If you enjoyed the person with Tourette's in the movie theater, you would have loved this woman sitting in your row on a flight.
No, I would not have. She apparently was crazy and walking up and down the aisle and shouting. We think it's about a 50-minute flight or something like that, 45-minute flight. But apparently she did it for most of the flight. I'm going to play the audio from her. You're not going to believe it's real. That happened on a plane.
Now, what's she saying?
She's yelling, "You're my savior."
Can't you pray silently and rub some rosary beads or something?
This is a video that was recorded with this guy's phone, who was not sitting next to her, but was sitting across the aisle from her. So he was a little ways away, so it was clearly much louder than that. And so then she continues.
God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
She's
savior!
Been freaking out for the last 20 minutes.
Can you imagine?
No.
No.
20 minutes of that woman sitting next to you yelling, God, you're my savior! God, you're my
that
savior!
That would make me insane.
Do you think it's because she thought she was going to die?
I mean, usually that's why people freak out on planes, but it's interesting because I thought the woman barking in the movie theater would be the worst experience ever.
Right,
but
this
now
is much
that looks
worse.
Preferable to this.
You're on a plane. Like, I could have gotten up and left if I was that bothered by it. But on a plane, you can't.
No, you are stuck.
She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother. And then she's been like this for the last, 15, 20 minutes.
God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
What the hell?
Oh, man.
Isn't someone, like, looking for a sock or something to just... I don't know.
That's rough.
What do you think's going on, for real, with her? Is she just having a panic attack? Is that what it is?
But panic attacks I don't. I mean, I guess panic attacks can be anything, but a lot of times when you have a panic attack, it's completely silent. Sometimes it's, but you don't see him screaming like this most of the time. I don't know. This sounds like off her meds to me.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
And by the way, like, it's not a little stressful to fly anyway. You know what I mean? Like, you hit a little turbulence and it shakes a little bit or it drops a little bit and everybody goes, whoa. You don't need this next to you.
God, you're my savior.
I don't know if this guy next to her knows her or not. He's been trying to calm her down the whole time.
Holy cow.
I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't think I could stand that.
Don't F and touch me. 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh. I kind of hope that American Airlines makes a note of that passenger and doesn't let her get on the return flight and instead directs her to the rental car booth.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan. Remix! Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
This Friday, we have two ways for you to join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live and in person. Friday morning, you, Ralph Garmer, are going to be hosting the K-Rock Bloody Mary Blood Drive. It's going to be at the Queen Mary starting at 6 a.m. So you'll be down there. You'll have prizes for people who come by and donate blood. You'll be doing the showbiz beat and whatever live from the Queen Mary, right? People can come and hang out with you.
If you say so.
And then Friday night, it's Kevin and Bean's Scary Carry Prom on the Queen Mary. This just announced earlier this morning. It's our first singles party in a long, long time. We'll be giving away tickets all week long. You can get details at krock.com. Singles party this Friday night. Just found out that Lux is going to be there, Miss Double December, 2013. She's going to be joining us.
Yep.
The party is brought to you by the new horror movie called Carrie in theaters this Friday. Again, details at krock.com and your tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Gravity, number one at the box office, $44.3 million.
Is that shocking to anyone else? I mean,
yeah,
I know it
I'm a little surprised.
Great word of mouth, but is this the second week or?
Second week.
Second week,
yeah.
$44 million for the second week is crazy good.
Well, word of mouth has been through the roof.
It has.
And the critical acclaim has been equally strong.
So. Yeah.
And it's only 90 minutes long, so you have a lot of screenings per day, too.
Captain Phillip, in its debut, made $26 million. Tom Hanks film.
That happened.
Got pretty good reviews itself.
It was a deal.
I loved it.
That went on.
I actually got to see it, unlike Kevin.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 was third. Machete Kills was fourth. Runner Runner came in at number five. Prisoners, Insidious Chapter 2, Rush, Don John, and Baggage Claim running out the top 10 at the box office over the weekend. Adele's been offered $40 million to do a concert residency in Las Vegas.
Nice.
How long do you have to think about that?
Well, this is only one of the offers she's getting from other hotels and casinos. If I was her, and I'm sure her people are thinking the same way, you start a bidding war, and whoever comes up with the most cash gets Adele for a couple years. Elton John, her good friend, has been trying to convince her to do a show in Vegas for some time. He does his million-dollar piano show at Caesars, and he's very happy with the organization and with the working arrangement, so... Caesars, by the way, is the company that's offering her $40 million to do the show. So she may end up there just out of friendship and connections with Elton John. Justin Bieber in the news, once again, being a massive douchebag.
Really?
He was in Seoul, South Korea Friday night attending a nightclub there. DJ Michael Woods was spinning. Reportedly, he was, you know, pumping out some jams.
Sure.
As he'd do. Some electronic dance music, mostly. Bieber, shirtless.
Yes.
And uninvited.
Always shirtless.
Stormed up into the DJ booth with his security and started yelling at Woods to play more hip-hop music. According to Woods, his response was, F off and put some clothes on.
He's a douche.
That's when Justin Bieber took a swing at Michael's tour manager. And, according to Michael Woods, quickly retreated behind a wall of security guards. And then he ran away.
The list of people that Bieber could beat up is probably very, very small.
Yes. Michael said, if you take a swing at somebody, why don't you stick around instead of running behind your securities like a little kitty cat.
I mean, this DJ doesn't go to Bieber concerts and storm the stage and tell him what to sing.
No, I should. Let's all start storming the stage at Bieber concerts. pour blood on him, like Carrie. Just standing there, blood, pig's blood dripping off him. That'd be awesome. And Jennifer Hudson's got a new movie coming out. She plays a heroin addict in a new movie called The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete. But she said it was kind of hard for her because she has she's a clean liver. Never had a cocktail in her life, that Jennifer Hudson.
Really?
Lots of cookies, but no cocktails.
That's weird.
What, she's never had a drink?
Yeah.
It is
odd. Don't find very many people who have never at least tried it.
No, they're freaks. They're horrible people.
They're
should be put
terrible,
down.
Terrible people.
They should be cartoon death-sized. Don't you think so, Bean?
I don't. I mean, she says she just never had any interest in it, right? She was never tempted at all to try it.
Yeah.
But does your...
That's odd.
It's odd. It's freakish.
Yeah, like you're around friends and they would say, well, you've never had a drink?
Have a glass of wine?
Something.
No. I have to be different so people notice me. That's what you say.
I wonder if she had alcoholics in her family or drug addicts in her family, and maybe that's why she was scared off. I don't know. How tough is it for her to play an addict, having never experienced any kind of, you know, being inebriated at all?
Well, she said she had to do a lot of homework, as you can imagine, by meeting with people in recovery. And she said one of the clues was one former user talked to her that doing heroin, when you first shut it up, felt like having an orgasm. So that's right. The phenomenon that she tapped into. Well, okay. I guess you're not that clean a liver, then, are you, Jennifer Hudson?
Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz!
Jay Hutz.
I don't know.
Fire know. Beer mug.
Don't know.
So, so Jennifer Hudson, not a drinker, but a whore.
Apparently. Oh, my God.
So she's got that going for her.
I didn't see the end of that story going that direction.
Bean, you've never had a drink, right?
No, I have certainly tasted alcohol. I drank a Guinness with our good friend Bono, if you remember.
Our good friend Bono. All right, Pat O'Brien.
Right?
The guy you met once, you mean, Bono?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Kevin and I drank a Hurricane when we were broadcasting from New Orleans a number of years ago. That was part of our on-air.
It was just
bit
before
that
we
day.
Shaved our heads.
Right before we shaved our heads. So I've tasted
it. The only two times Bean's ever had drinks was because it was an on-air segment thing.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
You ever just have a beer? You ever sit down just have a beer with friends, Bean? You ever kick back, pop cold one?
I don't believe I ever have.
Wine?
I wasn't
Doesn't
really...
Doesn't your wife like wine?
Yeah, she'll have
wine. Well, haven't you tried it?
No, I mean, I don't think I ever have. But I just, it's never really been an attraction for me. I'm straight up heroin, that's all. I don't even waste time with the small stuff. I do have a friend, Ralph, who doesn't like to hang out with me because I never drink.
Well, you have a lot of those.
Yes, that's for many reasons. That's one of them.
He doesn't trust me as a human because I don't drink.
There's something wrong with people who don't have a cocktail.
That's
right.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true. That is true.
That is science.
There's some type of mistake there.
Wait, so if you're going on.
If you're not at least a social drinker, there's something wrong with you?
No. You don't have to be a social drinker, but you should have at least tried it several times.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't kill you to have a beer or a glass of wine or something?
Yeah. Just tried it?
I don't know. Just then, never
appealed to me.
You're
some sort of control freak. You're afraid what's going to happen if you have one. Or you're just a contrarian and everybody drinks so you don't want to. So, hey, look at me.
Maybe there's a bad bean and the bad bean comes out when he drinks.
But something's up with people who don't have a drink.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you for admitting that.
That tape has come in handy, hasn't it, you guys?
It really has. I don't trust people.
Can't get you to say it.
I've never had a drink. Something's weird about that.
I agree.
But I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Well, you
feel
are. Like I... First of all, you certainly are. You're missing out on getting hammered.
Right, but I feel like I'm fine without that.
You're never going to be on a party bus.
You're the furthest from fine. You need a good, stiff drink. That's what you need. Dude, lighten the F up.
Ralph's not saying that he expects everybody to be an alcoholic, but...
Wouldn't hurt.
But to have not tried it is odd. I agree with Ralph. I don't trust anybody that hasn't tried it.
All right.
There's got to be religion or some other strong reason.
That's some honked up reason.
I don't really have a reason. I mean, there's lots of things I don't do.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Ask your wife. Today's celebrity birthday is Jay Farrow, is 26 years old today. Stacey Keibler, she's 34. Usher, 35 years old. Steve Coogan is 48 years old today. I was just talking about Alan Partridge and found out from a listener that they made a movie. A new Alan Partridge movie is coming out shortly.
No kidding.
What are the coincidences?
That's weird.
48 years old today. Lori Petty is 50. Thomas Dolby, the famous 80s musician who gave us the She Blinded Me with Science, is 55. And Roger Moore, James Bond himself, turns 86 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning in studio, we have Lacey Chabert, Maxim cover girl. She's rather attractive, it turns out.
Lazy Chabert?
That's what he said.
She just hang around?
Lazy. Did I not say lazy?
She just sits on the couch?
She's lazy?
She doesn't just eats bonbons?
Maybe she is. I don't know.
Old Lazy Chabert.
I shouldn't guess that.
She hasn't even come in yet. You're already calling her names, man. That's mean.
And I wrote Lacey. Odd. Mark Maron will be here in studio.
Oh, I love Mark so much.
And we have a scientific survey as we have hit an impasse here on the show, so we're going to need your help tomorrow morning. Can't tell you what. That'll ruin it. And Kevin and Bean's Scary Carrie Prom on the Queen Mary. We've got tickets for that tomorrow morning on an all-new show.